Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
That is indeed what we do. Dan.
Yes, sir.
Dan.
Yes, sir.
Dan.
Yes, sir. Sir.
Dan.
Sir.
Do we have a hook?
We do. It's that I know a lot about Alex Jones. You don't know anything about
I don't
about
know
him.
Anything about Alex Jones.
Today's novelty beverages brought to us by the good people at Schlafly Brewery, a nice Northeast IPA. Love it. St. Louis.
This isn't associated with Phyllis Schlafly, is it?
No. St. Louis, okay. Missouri's own Schlafly Brewery.
Okay.
I love St. Louis.
Because I would immediately throw this out the window if it was associated with her. And
not.
I bought it.
It is not. You know how St. Louis I am?
No.
You gotta ask my tattooist.
I don't know how St. Louis you are.
Classic bit. Shout out Murphy Lee. Jordan.
Could you turn me up a little bit?
I can. Turn up your cans.
Thank you very much.
This is a podcast where we talk about Alex Jones. Got a really exciting show for you today. Before we get into it though.
All right.
What I want to do is I realize that I've been a little bit, lacking in some ways.
You're supposed to talk to our donors first.
We don't have anybody to give a shout out to.
You goddamn mother. No, I'm just
kidding. We're caught up.
That would be very funny if I was
mad. Very shitty.
What an asshole.
We're caught up on, policy wonks at the moment, I believe, and,
fantastic.
If you'd like to become one, however, you can go to, knowledgefight.com, click support the show, we would appreciate it. You could become a policy wonk.
See, there you go.
But, what I wanted to say is I have been really terrible about getting back to people who have emailed. I apologize.
Yes, that's something that everybody has said. You know, Dan,
I'm feeling
you
really,
don't work hard enough.
I'm feeling
that's what everybody, that's what all of our fans think.
I'm feeling very bad and self-conscious about it in terms of like keeping up with communiques, and I'm going to get back to everybody quickly as I can. But one of the reasons that I had
you can
not,
forward some of these emails on to me. Well, I can probably.
Well, see, I got to get to what's going on here.
Okay.
One of the reasons that I had not gotten back to a lot of these people is because it was Avengers Initiative related emails.
Ah, there you go.
And we got caught up doing the Endgame coverage at the same time, and I was waiting to be done with that, and then I forgot to get back to people, and I feel really shitty. But I want to make this clear. Next episode. March Madness begins.
The bracket begins.
The bracket of Alex Jones sound effects begins next episode.
I gotcha.
Coming out on Monday. So everyone get excited for that. And I will do my best to respond.
Have we already
to
recorded
emails.
It that it's coming out on Monday?
No. What?
No, I'm just
Are you going kidding. Out of the country?
I'm leaving you.
You fleeing?
Forever.
Everybody involved in all this stuff.
I am gonna be gone in 2 weeks though. I'm gonna be gone for a week. Whole week.
This is going to be an off-air conversation. We got to figure this out. Have you do another field report like you did from England.
I think that's, that one was weird.
Before we had our sea legs.
Oh, God.
So,
Dan.
Jordan, you might have to flee for a little bit. I think Alex Jones might also be
transition!
Everyone involved in InfoWars is probably on the cusp of fleeing, but.
It'd be a smart idea.
But their words would not indicate that. Here's an out-of-context drop from today's show.
I personally feel very, very strong.
Whoa!
That
whoa.
Came out of nowhere.
He personally feels very strong?
I personally feel very strong, yes. Long exhale.
I personally...
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, God. Feel very strong.
So one of the things I want to do is when we do these episodes at the end of the week, I want to give you a fill-in of the week. I want to do the week that was.
Ooh, there you go. We're doing some John Oliver shit right now.
I guess, is that one of their segments?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, anyway, today we're going to be going over the last week.
Okay.
The Alex Jones Show. On our earlier this week, we covered Monday, so we don't need to talk about that. But we'll be going over the 13th, 14th, and 15th.
Oh shit! This is a really smart idea. It only took us like a year and a half to figure it out to do a weekend wrap up.
Yeah. Some would say it's obvious.
Let me give it to you this way. My ability to plan with you is non-existent.
Yeah, and my getting caught up with all sorts of other side ideas that I have that don't quite work out.
2008!
Pretty much everything except for the Endgame coverage has been ideas that I've had that are like, that didn't work.
Yep.
Today, this is going to be really fun. Alex has been on some real bullshit this week.
Okay.
Like, we all know he's getting sued. Another lawsuit comes around.
Of course.
And the way he escalates it is classic, UCB style improv.
Like, okay. All right.
It's
all right.
Insane how quickly
he's yes ending the lawsuit. All right. I'm in.
He takes the stakes from reality. Well, he never starts with reality.
No, that would be lame.
He starts with an elevated version of the stakes and then gets to a preposterous level, right, which is going to be really fun. And then along the way, there's a lot of really stupid things he says. But we're going to start.
I'm being sued by the demon Beelzebub.
You're shockingly close.
That shouldn't be real.
Well, in this first clip, we're starting on Tuesday, the 13th, and Alex has some thoughts about this lawsuit, this most recent lawsuit. And this one is being brought against
which
him.
Is the most recent lawsuit? I can't keep up.
This one is a defamation lawsuit that's being brought against him by a guy named Brennan Gilmore.
Oh, is that the guy who, No. I know what's going on now.
From a Politico article here, the protester who filmed the violent clashes at a white supremacist rally last year in Virginia, Charlottesville, sued far-right news site InfoWars and its leader Alex Jones on Tuesday, saying the site stoked conspiracy theories that he was working as a deep state operative for the government.
Not wrong. And that is exactly what they did.
So that's the basics about this lawsuit, but Alex Jones starts off on Tuesday.
Is that defamation of character, though, right?
It's debatable.
That's kind of a compliment. That's the weirdest part about this.
I don't agree.
You're way more than what you actually are.
I don't agree with that assessment. I think Alex Jones spiritually deserves to lose this lawsuit.
Absolutely.
But I think he can probably win or settle.
It's really tough. It's really tough to do defamation.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people win those.
Yeah, but you know, The way that it does always seem malicious.
Right. No, absolutely.
It seems like you'd be able to. Anyway, let's hear Alex's version of
it
here in this first clip from Tuesday.
He's a spokesperson of the Democrats. He loves Hillary. He's a leftist. He went all over TV. He was a public figure before. He's a public figure after.
So there, just already, he's trying to make the argument that he is a public figure.
Yeah,
it's Brennan Gilmore.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in being a public figure, he's much harder to slander.
That was the first time he listened to the advice of his lawyers.
Yes.
Guaranteed.
He's going to be all over the news channels as a cause celeb. Democratic fundraising. He writes articles for Politico. How I Became Fake News, Brennan Gilmore.
He wrote an article for Politico.
And Alexander Jones, InfoWars is the top of the bill. I like that. It's like John Hancock.
He wasn't
right
top of the
there.
Bill.
Big and bold, baby. That's the new Declaration of Independence right there.
Wait, what?
You got Lee Stranahan. We need to get him on today. Let's go back. I'll read it. Leanne McAdoo, and then they've got some other news organizations they're suing.
So,
Ellie Max, bringing her in here.
I do love that, though. This is the new Declaration of Independence.
It's... That might be grandiose.
A little bit.
A little bit grandiose.
So Leanne McAdoo is also being sued, in this case because she did some of the interviews in question.
Okay.
And one of the people she interviewed is also being sued, Lee Stranahan, who comes on the show later. We're not going to hear anything from him. What you need to know about Lee Stranahan is he's a guy who worked for Breitbart, and then quit in protest over an unspecified issue and then immediately started working for Sputnik.
Sounds right.
And
that's a lateral move.
And when asked about it, he said, quote, I'm on the Russian payroll now. Also, in the interviews that he did on InfoWars,
I wasn't doing crime. Maybe I am now. Don't worry about it.
In the interviews that he did on InfoWars about the Charlottesville rally, he compared what was going on there with the Russian version of events in the Ukraine.
Yeah.
And so he was pushing a Russian narrative of the Ukrainian crisis.
So if I understand correctly, his blank was annexed?
Because
his free speech?
His argument is that Soros was the agitating force in Charlottesville. And that Soros was also the agitating force in Crimea.
Soros does a lot.
Yeah,
he's a busy man.
We're going to get back to that in a little bit.
I thought I was busy with the day job and with this show and with comedy, but no, Soros is everywhere.
Hands in so many pies.
Yeah. Does he ever delegate?
No, he's.
Does anybody actually work for Soros?
No, it's all him.
It's all him?
Yeah, and his son.
Does he have
his son?
What does he do?
Soros and Sons. It's a mom and pop globalism operative.
It's a mom and pop globalism. Yeah. Also, they have a special on hammers.
Yes.
He has a brick and mortar hardware store.
And a raw honey business. That's Soros and fam.
Yep. Yep.
So in that last clip, at least Alex was recognizing that it's Brennan Gilmore who is suing him.
Yes.
That does not last long.
That doesn't last. How can it not last long? Are the Gilmore girls also suing him?
You son of a bitch. You gotta
listen. I'm sorry. I'm gonna start. I'm gonna listen.
All right.
When I grow up, I want the deep state to sue me so I can draw them out in the open. So I can get them in those deposition rooms and hammer those white shoe boys for the return of the Republic. We now take you live to the rebirth of America and the Second Revolution. Ah, yeah, I can feel the spirit.
We take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance. You're listening to Alex Jones.
My name, my children, my treasure, my soul is on the line to defeat these parasite globalists.
Give three
and
more
I'm feeling
examples.
Good.
Feeling good.
You want to know their number. If you want to know their kryptonite. If you want to know what they fear, it's InfoWars. It's you. It's Americana. It's God-fearing people of every race, color, and creed who bleed red blood. Now, I'll get more into the deepest of the deep state, Clinton command base, CIA leftist faction, Jesuit, globalist, Vatican, El Supremo operation.
Oh, shit. Wait.
That's a lot of words.
Wait, hold on one second.
That's a lot of words.
Okay. One, he does not realize that Hillary is currently unemployed.
Yeah.
Two.
He's mad because she
Hillary
was in
is
India
in the
talking
deepest,
shit.
She was in, yeah, whatever. She was in the deepest of the deep state.
No.
Then her operation.
You're
the liberal operation. Then the Jesuits?
Jesuits.
Are the Jesuits in on this?
You're getting a little-
The nuns?
You're getting a little bit ahead of yourself, and I promise you I'll explain everything in due time.
Okay.
But that's how Alex starts describing the lawsuit against him.
Yes.
The deepest of the deep state,
right.
Hillary operation, CIA Jesuits. So now-
So wait, CIA Jesuits.
Hold on. There's a little more in this next clip.
I would watch that movie, by the way.
With taxpayer money, trying to end free speech in America. Wow. You think there are going to be some amicus briefs to this? You think some folks are going to wade in? This is going to be a titan battle. And I guess they think they got everything worked out there in Virginia with things, huh? So we can't red pill a jury. Yeah, this is a very sophisticated operation. But the best laid plans of mice and men often go astray.
It's hard to tell.
Isn't it awry?
I think so. But it's hard to tell if he couldn't come up with the end of the quote or he was doing that for dramatic effect. I'm going to...
Often go AWOL. No, they often go out of this world. They often are Martian bases. I don't know what literature is.
George, he could have also been quoting that poem that Of Mice and Men's name is taken from, but be that as it may.
No, that's exactly what he's quoting. The book doesn't, never mind.
Let's not dwell in this too much because
I was a literature major. I have to.
Okay.
I'm furious.
This is so tertiary to the matter at hand.
No! Let's get into it!
So we've got
Of Mice and Men. Go. How do you feel about Lenny?
Love him.
Okay.
Problematic character, but I love him.
Okay.
We start with Brennan Gilmore is suing me because
deep
I said a bunch of shit.
Deepest of the deep state.
Then we bring in the Jesuits. Now we've established that Alex believes the Jesuits are suing
him
with
taxpayer money.
Yeah. But this
is that because they don't pay taxes, or
I promise you, I'll explain
are
everything.
Taxpayers financing the Jesuits?
I promise you, I'll explain everything. But
I have so many questions.
There's one more escalation that needs to happen before we reveal the truth.
Okay.
I am so honored to be sued by Pope Francis using
Whoa!
U.S. taxpayer money.
Whoa!
No, I'm not kidding. Pull up the Washington Post.
Woo!
Georgetown was founded as a private university in the 1790s, where Washington, D.C. basically is today. And it was set up by the Vatican. But since about 100 years ago, it's been mainly funded by taxpayer money.
So now the Pope is suing him.
All right.
That's exciting.
So Pope Francis.
Yes, sir.
Personally.
Sir.
Is suing him.
Yeah.
Does the Pope ever delegate anything?
No, the Pope is...
Do any of these people have lawyers?
Nope.
Is it just the Pope who literally writes his own briefs?
Yeah, yeah. The Pope is going to be defending himself in court against Alex. So all of this is just comes back to a couple of stray facts.
Yeah.
And it's basically all because Brennan Gilmore, the suit that he is bringing was filed in court by the Georgetown Civil Rights Clinic.
Okay.
The Georgetown University Civil Rights Clinic. Now, here are the...
That's where they go to heal civil rights.
Yes.
If civil rights had herpes, you would take them
wrong
to
kind
the...
of clinic. Like,
oh,
a,
okay.
Like a basketball clinic.
Okay, all right.
It's for students.
That's how Markel Fultz is getting his shot back.
Yes.
All right.
NBA
reference.
Here are the only facts you really need to know. Carol Quigley.
When the Pope sues somebody, does the white smoke come out of the chimney?
The Pope isn't suing him. This is nonsense. Georgetown University is a Jesuit university, or historically has been.
Okay.
Carol Quigley.
I did not know that.
Carol Quigley, who Alex Jones hates.
Yes.
And pretends he's read his entire book,
right.
Tragedy and Hope.
Has not.
Was a professor at Georgetown.
All right.
Ergo, Alex is connecting those things.
Okay.
This brief was filed by the Georgetown Civil Rights Clinic. And I'm going to read to you here from their website what the Civil Rights Clinic is.
Okay.
The Civil Rights Clinic.
Pope.
Yeah, it's the Pope. I don't need to read this paragraph.
No, I want to hear the paragraph.
The Civil Rights Clinic operates as a public interest law firm representing individual clients and other public interest organizations.
The Pope.
Primarily in the areas of discrimination and constitutional rights, workplace fairness, and open government.
Sounds like the Pope.
Students interview clients, develop case theories, draft and file complaints in federal and state courts, conduct discovery, engage in motions, practice, and prepare appeals. All it is what, like, it's what you can do, get therapy
it's
through psychology.
Yeah, yeah.
Students.
This is essentially, he is suing them through, like,
he probably doesn't have money.
Third year residence, yeah. Like that kind of a thing.
He probably doesn't have the resources, and you use law school
not.
Students at, let's see, the number
reduced.
One law school in
yeah.
America.
Yeah, yeah.
They're probably better than a lot of lawyers, even though they don't have, their completed
their
degrees.
Bar license,
yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and you know what? Why is it Georgetown? Is it because it's the Pope and the Jesuits?
Could be.
No, it's because it's the best university in a 2 mile drive, from Charlottesville, Virginia. It's really close to Charlottesville, Virginia. And it's consistently
right.
The number one law school in America.
All right. So he Google Maps it and then pressed search here and Georgetown came up and he's like, ah, that works.
No, I'm sure because of the area that the offense took place, or I'm sure that he has to bring it into a court, in that area.
Right.
And what's the best, or
yeah.
Maybe he even lives there. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what Brandon Gilmore's, address is.
Georgetown University.
Who knows?
Pope Land.
He might have connections, like friends who go to Georgetown or something
yeah.
like that.
No,
you
no,
never,
no.
You
Georgetown
know.
Is a place. But you can go to law school there. There are lawyers for cheap.
But if you're,
I got it.
If you're connecting, like, if you just think logically about it, like, the tragedy happened in Charlottesville, Virginia, and 120 miles away
right.
is Georgetown University. That's incredibly
right.
close.
Right, right, right.
That would be like when I grew up in Columbia, Missouri.
How close was the Vatican to Columbia?
The University of Missouri is pretty good, but like I guess if I needed... I don't know what Webster does. I don't
so
know what Webster University in St. Louis does, but be that...
Here's okay. a quick question. All right. So we know the NCAA is an evil organization.
I've heard that.
If the students are paid for the lawsuit, for being his lawyer, does that make them ineligible for the law tournament?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Just wanted to make sure.
But it gives them valuable experience.
Absolutely.
You get course credit, all
yeah.
that sort of thing.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
actually
yeah.
a really cool thing.
Right.
And Alex is misaligning everything, but it's super fun. The way he's escalating his own oppression.
It's the Pope.
Everybody is against
me. He went all the way to the Pope.
And let me tell you this, it's not done. He's going to escalate it even further. But
how can you escalate it past the Pope.
We have to wait and see. It's a little bit later.
He owns his own country.
It's a little bit later down the road. We'll get there in a bit. But first, Alex Jones has to ruminate on his victimhood status.
Yes.
And do the only thing he knows how to do.
Does he say the Pope is almost as bad as the Jews?
No. He does say something really fucked up in the next clip, though.
Oh, boy.
But here's his sadness.
Okay.
Lawsuits. Taxpayer funded. It's all here. It's happening. And I am so honored to be in the middle of this and to see Trump moving to get rid of the globalists, to get rid of the neocons.
He's not doing it.
Really bringing this country back. It's a very, very magic time to be alive. Before we go any further, because I hardly ever plug, we need to plug more. I barely plugged for 30 seconds last
segment. Barely plug.
Ladies and gentlemen, we need your financial support. But more importantly, we sell products that we.
Anyway, that just goes on. Anyway, like I said, he says something really terrible, and, this clip starts with Alex, he's encouraging people who went to Georgetown and their alums to stop giving them money.
Really?
And I don't have the clip of it, but on one of these shows, he says that they've been going through the alumni Rolodexes of, Georgetown and contacting alums and stuff, which I don't know how I feel about that, but do what you gotta do.
I feel like if you went to Georgetown, you're not susceptible to InfoWars. Right?
I would imagine not, but so that's sort of his plan, is I'm going to crush Georgetown University.
That works.
But unfortunately, he says something at the end of this clip that should make any Georgetown alum be like, I don't want to help this guy.
All of you, if you're alumni at Georgetown and you're not a snot-nosed globalist, you got to pull your money. Other people, I think there should be lawsuits. Against them. There's all sorts of issues using taxpayer money, trying to get rid of the free speech. I mean, I'm having my rights violated like Jim Crow.
Yeesh.
I don't think that's true because they're suing you.
Yeesh.
They're not discounting you as a human being.
Right, right.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, they're like, hey, we're literally going to treat you as an equal by going into court with you.
Yeah.
As opposed to being like, you're not allowed.
Yeah.
Period.
I hate this is something that's just going to keep coming up, and my firm position on Alex and all of these lawsuits, go to court. Like,
right?
If your rights are being violated, go to court.
You have to.
Yeah. Go, show up.
Well, I mean, he's not going to be treated fairly. If there's anything I know about the justice system, it's that rich people are never treated fairly.
Rich white males especially.
Yep. Oh, absolutely
not.
Yeah,
they're
always, they're always fucking railroaded by our justice system.
Yeah.
Our justice system hates rich white male.
Yeah, yeah. So there's no way that he's going to have, his fair day.
Oh, absolutely.
But I just think, all of these concerns that he's screaming about and making up, like, okay, you believe that the Jesuits and the Pope are trying to sue you through this.
Right. Taxpayer funded Jesuits.
Go to court and make that argument. See how it flies anywhere but on your stupid show. See how anybody.
Oh, man.
Because, you know, Alex.
I don't recognize this lawsuit, Admiralty Law against the Pope.
Fine. Fine. I would love that. You know, because, like, we go back to this over and over again. The concept of proving something to Alex versus
anathema.
The real world are very different things. And the idea of him trying to be like Carol Quigley and the Jesuits behind this, it all goes all the way up to the Pope, are trying to railroad me. Sir, this is about your comments that
right.
you made about this guy.
Well, if you...
Who is not the Pope.
If you recall, I think in the justice system.
I gotta scare those hiccups out of you.
I know, it's
Jesus.
Weird. It happened fast.
That's scary.
I'm tired.
Yeah.
In the justice system, Alex is a very different man.
No, I mean, he was screaming, at his custody hearing.
Well, yeah, but that was a whole different thing.
That's
he wasn't
true.
Gonna lose too much money.
No, just
or
his kids.
Some of the money. Yeah. Just his kids.
Do you wanna take a break?
Who are not as important as his money.
Do you wanna take a break to gargle some water?
No, I think I'll be fine.
Okay.
None of those cures actually work.
I don't know about that. Hold your breath.
I think I'll have a cigarette.
Mm.
There you go.
That's the cure all for everything. In this next clip, Alex Jones rocks out to a little bit of music and then makes a revelation that I think is an exaggeration.
We're crashing through the lies and disinformation. I love it. Crank it up for a minute. Good old ladies music, the Red Rocker. He's a great guy, by the way.
Great guy.
Judge said, son, just one more. All right. Here's the deal. I can't drive 55, and I sure as hell can't live under globalism and Islamic Sharia law, allied with a bunch of weird soy boy leftists. It isn't happening. Yeah. Now, I was just talking to some of the crew in there. Imagine what Trump's going through if Democrats and Hillary lawyers have filed, I guess if you count the two EOCs as two things, it's 12 lawsuits in the last year, and most of them in the last couple months.
I think that number's high because he goes on to say that he's had six of them thrown out of court. I think he's creating fake lawsuits to pretend that he's won some, whereas he has shamefully settled the lawsuits that we're aware of publicly.
Pretty much.
And the other ones are still pending. I think he's just exaggerating to get a little bit of wind back in
his
sails.
Right.
But at this point, Alex, if he has 12 lawsuits pending, Jesus. Because I can't imagine what those other ones are for.
Yeah, I know.
Now, granted,
wouldn't we know about those lawsuits?
Now, granted, I think that there is a fair chance he can win this one.
I have six separate lawsuits for child support.
That could be.
That's entirely possible.
If he's including that, that's pathetic. But, like, if he, like, I don't know enough about law. I'm not a lawyer. But I don't think it's totally out of, like, the realm of believability that he could win this one against Brennan Gilmore.
Yeah.
I think it's possible. And I think the one against the Pepe copyright infringement lawsuit, I think it's very possible he'll win that as well.
That could be fair use, yeah.
The EEOC complaints, I think, are much more of a toss-up. I think he probably is going to have to settle those. But
he's not going to win against Ashley Beckford.
It doesn't seem like it, but I think he's going to settle those. I don't know. There's like the oppression that he's presenting doesn't make sense based on the pretty decent position he's in. Like, considering all he's going to do is lose a bit of money.
Well, I mean, not against the Pope.
Well, the Pope.
He's going to lose his treasure.
The Pope is not in play.
He's going to lose his bust of
Andrew Jackson?
No. I was going to go with who's the pilot who was lost?
Lindbergh?
Yes, his bust of Lindbergh.
Okay.
And his baby.
Yeah.
He actually has Charles Lindbergh's baby.
Charles Lindbergh didn't go missing.
Yeah.
That was the baby.
Yeah.
Anyway, in this next clip, we've always heard Alex very frequently talking about how the globalists keep children tied up in their basements and what have you.
Else are you going to keep them?
We hear that sick fantasy all the time.
Come on.
Now,
what do you got, a locker?
In an interesting twist, on this episode, Alex Jones presents himself and America as being the ones trapped in the basement.
That's interesting.
And
that's a new angle.
And because of that, it's not quite as gross to listen to.
Right.
So I'm going to go ahead and play it. But just...
Who's keeping him in the basement?
It's sick globalists, and maybe one of them is a worm being. But
a worm being?
We'll get to that as this clip.
Like our Dune worm?
I don't know. Let's see.
Okay.
And everybody knows what a pack of liars these people are, but they're so used to creeping
liars do
around
travel
and
packs.
Being in control and knowing that America's chained up in their basement. You know, so they're sitting up there watching TV, big old slobs. We're chained up down there. There's famous cases of this. They're getting
famous
their social
cases.
Security checks, basically. They're sitting like big slobs eating Twinkies, watching television. You know, they got like little CIA pocket protectors feeling powerful.
Do CIA pocket protectors
they walk down,
make
we're chained
so
up
fun?
Downstairs. They walk by, make us beg for maybe a piece of bread. They walk down the dungeon. They kind of strut around. I'm feeling really powerful right now, America. Let me just kick you in the face a little bit. Oh, but? We've got both our arms out of the shackles. And then we got our legs out. And when you open the trap door to come down and rape us, globalist, metaphysically?
Metaphysically.
Politically.
Even though we've been emaciated and been in the dark so long we could hardly see, we punched you, knocked you to the ground, bit a chunk out of you. And now we're stumbling around with the lights on trying to see. And you're screaming for mama.
Ma. Hold on.
And here comes a big, fat, giant, 400-pound maggot down the stairs, just slithering in. Pus dripping out of it, smell of rotting dead children in its belly. There's the big, giant pus worm. Come to save its baby. Baby's bleeding. Baby broke its leg when baby fell down in the dark. And so we're getting our bearings. The light's coming back in our eyes. We weigh about 85 pounds, but you know what? We're fighting for our life. And here comes that big worm. And what are we going to do to that big, giant, stinking worm that smells like dead flesh? It's squealing like a big rat. What are we going to do to that worm?
I mean, the only answer is murder, right?
Kill the worm. If you only weigh 85 pounds, there's no, you have no chance against the big worm.
Well, but, okay, so it's either we're going to get fucked up by that
worm.
Have
we ever seen a 400 pound worm?
I haven't.
Even in like the Cretaceous period.
In literature, in fiction.
Right. I don't. Well, of course, there's the Doom giant worms. Yeah. Yes. There is a, the Tremors worms?
Sure, sure.
They were there.
I've
the Teenage Mutant Ninja worms?
I'm trying to unpack all this.
I don't know who he thinks is winning in this situation.
Well, he's winning because he's got his arms free and bit a piece off the baby.
How did he get his arms free?
I don't know.
Does America have opposable or the thumbs that can
probably Trump getting in is his arms getting free or okay. something like that if you want to use that metaphor.
So so Tillerson getting fired is the legs?
Maybe. He we don't have any clips of it because it was really inconsequential, but he's thrilled with Tillerson being out.
Oh, of course.
Because he's a globalist double dealer. Which
sure.
I don't know what that means.
Naturally.
But he plays
counter coup.
Right. He plays.
Or we're on our third counter coup.
He plays a little bit of Tillerson's farewell press conference, and Alex is clearly confused by the language, and so he's like, "This is all code."
Okay.
He's
all
like,
right.
He's like, Tillerson's clearly talking to a globalist stay behind network.
Stay behind network.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
All right. Tillerson famously getting rid of most of the State Department has a stay behind network as well.
His deputy got fired too. There is no one in the State Department.
Yeah. No, there's nobody there.
There's no stay behind
and
network.
And the guy who's now running the State Department is just a torture master. Like what are we
former
doing?
Former head of the CIA.
Yeah.
Pompeo.
Yeah. Yeah. Pompeo's a piece of shit.
Later on, Wednesday episode, Steve Pachenik comes on. And I think.
Is anybody qualified to do anything in this fucking administration?
Nope.
Is anybody? Why would the CIA director be a good Secretary of State?
I don't know, man. Alex makes the argument that the CIA is run by the State Department. And so, of course.
Well, that's, I mean.
That's his explanation for why it's cool to have the CIA director be our chief diplomatic officer.
Done. Solved.
I don't know.
Solved.
Like, everything is so through the looking glass.
This is insane.
In terms of politics, I don't even really fucking care
anymore. How do we do the day-to-day? What is happening?
I don't even.
What's going on in the world, Dan?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Everything. All right. Everything and nothing at the same time.
Okay.
No, it's a huge mess, man. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I have no take on it.
Do you know, one of the things that I find interesting about Trump being elected is, a lot of people are calling themselves dictator for life now. Like Saudi prince, he's kinging it up now.
Well, you seem to notice a trend between the who's doing it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Trend.
Yeah.
People who would have been checked, by our State Department in the past.
That's a good point. John Kerry's not allowing any dictators for life. I'll tell you that right now.
People who would have been
swift boating. People, he's going to swift boat the shit out of them.
People who would have probably used some of our soft power in order to be like, hey, hold on now. I don't know if that sort of thing is appropriate, China and Saudi Arabia.
This is one of the weird things. Watching our foreign policy get dismantled, you're kind of like, ooh, our foreign policy was evil before, but damn.
Well,
maybe we weren't garbage.
It's kind of the difference between, I actually don't believe the first part of the sentence, but I think that the perception is there of this.
Yeah.
Necessary
absolutely.
Evil. I think that's
right.
What you kind of come away from Obama's term with.
Right.
In terms of foreign policy, a lot of things that are really fucking, unacceptable, but the realities of the world we live in, necessitate some of it. And now we're just in anarchy.
Yep.
Like, we're just basically in a foreign policy of,
I mean, yeah, look, Russia, you are probing to destroy our power grid.
Yeah.
We get it. But our response is, come on, guys. Come on, guys.
Well, I mean,
quit it.
I mean, today, we're recording this on Thursday.
They did set those new sanctions. That's true.
Right, but they're not really targeted
in
the
right
places.
No, they're against like 18 guys.
They're wildly inappropriate sanctions.
And they're absolutely not targeted towards the Russian oligarchs themselves.
No, no.
Because maybe, just maybe, Donald Trump owes them a shit ton of money.
Yeah. I think that what you look at, I read a really interesting article, written by someone we're going to talk about a little bit later on the podcast in preparation for this.
Pajanic.
No, a new cat.
Okay.
It's coming into the fold. And only very on the periphery. But he was making the argument, a long while back. I think it was an article from like 2009 about, the United States hegemony and the, unipolar power in the world.
Right. Right.
And how a lot of people.
And how it's gone.
Well, a lot of people are against that.
Yes.
And the reason that they're against that is that they believe that if that power were destroyed, you'd end up in a multipolar world or a place where there was much more universal respect and power between countries.
Right.
And the reality that he argued for is that what would happen in the absence of U.S. Power unipolarity is chaos and international anarchy.
Yes.
And...
sure, seems similar to the current times.
I'm not sure if I believe all of his premises, but it does look, based on the things that you were talking about, people saying, like, I'm just going to be in power.
I'm just going to do whatever I want. Yeah, yeah.
It seems like we're at the beginnings of what could be an era of international anarchy.
Right.
And the only end result of that is someone at some point down the road deciding, yeah, I'm going to be the unipolar power now, being able to do that.
Yeah.
The only country other than us that would do that is China.
Yes.
Russia wouldn't do that.
They don't have the economy for it.
They don't have the capability either because they're not... they're.
I mean, technically speaking, neither does China. I mean,
China could, though.
Well, they can only exercise their economic power over a thing. At the end of the day, America has all of the guns. Like, essentially, our military... what? Our military is... all of the other major countries, plus a million combined, like.
Right.
It's intense how much military strength we have.
The
good news is.
I honestly don't think that there's any way that we would use most of it, though.
Well, the good news is, right, is that now that we do have all of this military power and we see people challenging America's hegemony, and there's no possible way with our stable and wonderful government that we will use that in a negative possibility way. There's no way.
I still have some faith that it'll not come to that.
I don't know.
Anyway.
I never know.
On to this next clip where Alex makes his claim. So this lawsuit,
yes.
This lawsuit is about the defamation of character that he put towards...
the Pope.
Nope, Brendan Gilmore.
Right.
And if you'll recall, in the day...
who might be the Shadow Pope.
No, he's
not.
Have
we considered Dark Pope situations?
There's the Black Pope, not the
Shadow
Pope.
There is the Black Pope.
In the day of and after the Charlottesville rally, Alex had Jason Kessler, the guy who organized the Unite the Right rally...
yep, yep.
On his show to say a bunch of stupid bullshit.
Great.
Could fly in his face. But
great.
Alex's defense about why he's not guilty of the thing that he's being charged with is that the lawsuit left off one word, and they misquoted him.
Oh, no.
And I don't think this is going to fly.
I forget the name of the headline. It's in the suit, but they distorted it. I've got it over here somewhere. Here's Reuters, and they were sending me fake headlines. And I went and checked. It wasn't even our headlines. Let me find it right here. It was bombshell connection between Charlottesville, Soros, and they cut chaos off. And then, again, they edited this. Bombshell connection. George Soros needs to be charged and arrested for sedition and causing Charlottesville chaos. And I have all the documents here where he funds Antifa. So, again, they've edited all this. It's amazing. We're getting Lee Stranahan back on his Skype one out.
Again, the guy who writes for Sputnik.
So, he doesn't have any documents aside from the... unenforceable bullshit contract that
yes.
he has described in the past.
Yes.
Which, now, I am also not a lawyer. I'm not even a law student at Georgetown University.
Civil rights clinic.
But I don't think a judge is going to be like, well, yeah, of course. You got that contract, so you're right.
No. He's talking about the fucking contracts that he found on 4chan that were fake.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Those would not...
Judge isn't going to let those fly.
No. Those are fake.
Right.
Those are absolutely not real.
So who's going to trial? 4chan is going to trial.
Right. Why would they mislead me and make me say things?
Of course.
Right.
He's talking a lot of lawsuit.
Let's chill their free speech.
Ah.
Oh, now Alex is going to turn the buck. He won't there do that. Go. He's going to pretend that these things are real. But also the defense of like, they're suing me saying that I said George Soros should be charged for sedition for causing Charlottesville.
But what he meant said is
he caused Charlottesville chaos. That's weak.
I don't know the difference there.
I think in the modern, parlance, the vernacular.
All right. The cause law.
If you say you caused Charlottesville, what you're saying is,
Soros is the reason that that woman was murdered.
Well, yeah, but Alex would he would say that, yeah, I believe that because
right.
he paid, Soros paid Antifa to agitate, and that's what led to her dying in the first place.
Yeah, but isn't that the distinction in using the word chaos as opposed to just Charlottesville? Charlottesville chaos says that Soros is the reason crazy shit happened, not Soros is responsible the murder.
No, because I think if you look at like when we say Charlottesville, we're talking about the mess.
Yes.
The chaos.
Yes.
So Charlottesville and Charlottesville chaos, I think, are synonymous.
You would think
so. To a certain extent.
Yeah.
This is not a glaring omission, this is what the lawsuit says. And I think it'd be very...
It is by Reuters, though.
It'd be very easy, not stand up in court.
No.
So in this next clip, Alex Jones talks dirty about his wife.
Okay.
And then throws it...
What?
And then throws it...
Wait, what?
Yeah. He loves to talk dirty about his wife. And then he throws it to commercial with Ted Nugent.
I mean, me personally, I'm not like these globalists that are into little kids and stuff. That's what I like. Big, you know, full-on, the whole nine yards, Marilyn Monroe type woman. I'm married happily. The point is, and I tell you, I make the joke, my wife's not, if she was her car, she wouldn't be street legal. People say, what does that mean? You know, it means she's got so much horsepower.
It means we fuck.
Speaking of horsepower, he drives a black Hellcat like I do. Let's crank this up. This is the Motor City Madman. We got the full interview coming later in the week. I did with him last week or a week and a half ago. Ted Nugent. He got you in a stranglehold, you globalist. All right, stay with us. We got one of the other reporters sued by the Vatican on the other side.
He should just be a DJ.
Yeah, he would be so much happier.
That was seamless.
So much happier.
First of all, I mean, I think it's gross the way he talks about his wife. But then...
A little bit.
It's between them. It's their business. If she's fine with that, then whatever. I'm not going to be offended.
I
think it's poor taste.
Probably.
But then, like, him being like, she's not...
Hey, one thing I say about my wife, we fuck good.
She's not street...
Maybe she has other qualities? Nope.
She's not street legal because she's got too much horsepower.
Mm.
Too much horsepower. Speaking of horsepower, this guy drives the same car as me. And then he throws
I thought he got rid of the Hellcat, though.
I think he said he was going to sell it, but then he didn't.
Ah, yeah.
But then he's like, this guy's got the same car as me. Let's go to Ted Nugent. And then he weaves in the name of the song being like, we got you globalists in a stranglehold.
Right, that's true.
In terms of DJing, that's pretty smooth.
Yeah, if you gave him like 5 minutes in between like an hour of solid music, he'd be amazing.
Yeah, he'd probably be...
He'd be amazing.
He'd be competent.
Well, fair enough.
So that's about his new wife. In this next clip, he talks about his old wife.
She is definitely street legal.
When they run their mouths, which they're already doing, outside of that court with the stuff they're saying.
You do that!
And like I said, I got Tom Brokaw saying that I'm an unalloyed racist, which means a committed 100% racist.
You are.
Literally every time he says the quote, unalloyed racist, he has to define it because he knows his audience has no idea what that means.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also, I don't have any clips of this in here, but he's like, statute of limitations is coming up on Brokaw. Gotta sue him. So he's
that doesn't make sense.
He's now going to sue Tom Brokaw.
Oh, so. Man. Now,
he's not going
to
do it.
We got called to testify in the Is Alex Jones a Racist case? God, we would crush it.
I have a little bit of an archive of
we might have a case.
Circumstantial
there.
Evidence certainly indicating. Anyway, he's not going to do that though. It's all just shit talk to try and distract from the fact that he's being sued by literally everybody.
It's probably bad that he talks about being sued a lot on his show.
Yeah,
that's not a good sign.
Let's see where this goes.
We got me protesting the KKK.
Sure. Say they're all feds.
You know, at my sister's Korean adopted, you know, my ex-wife's part Jewish, and so that makes my kids, I mean, I guess the Nazis are right. My kids, I guess, might be able to go, I think, to go to Israel or whatever. I mean, I never thought of that, but yeah.
That's again, not that how, well, I mean, they would be able to.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's not, but also, go fuck yourself. That doesn't make any goddamn sense.
That's not a fake laugh. That's an uncomfortable laugh.
Yeah.
Because the entirety of his career.
My children are Jewish. Oh,
no, that's not why. That's not why. Because for the entirety of his career up till this point, he's been denying that Kelly was part Jewish or that her mother was Jewish.
That's true.
And thereby denying that his children were Jewish because the complaint that his anti-Semitic critics made against him, which again, they're wrong, but they said that Alex Jones was working for Israel and that Kelly was Jewish and that made their kids Jewish. And that meant that they could have right of return to go to Israel when they had committed all
of
these crimes.
Technically speaking. Yes, they could, right?
Right, but that doesn't give them protection from committing a bunch of crimes and stuff and then running to Israel
all the crimes.
For asylum or whatever.
That's how it works.
That nonsense is crazy. But the reason that that clip to me is like, that's damning, is that fake uncomfortable laugh is covering him saying, I'd never thought about that. You fucking thought about that,
Alex.
Oh,
yeah.
All the years you've been fucking denying that your family is has Jewish roots.
I mean, we talked about his conspiracy theory about exactly that,
mm-hmm.
the right of return.
Yeah.
He was crazy about it.
Yeah.
Then it just occurred to him that that would also apply to his children.
Well, and
that doesn't make sense at all.
And for almost his, like I would say at least the last decade of his career, there have been people who have been harassing him.
Yeah.
And like there was an episode, I couldn't find the clip of it because I forgot what episode it was from, but we've covered it on the show. There's a guy who called in who was like, I've been inside your house.
Yes, I recall that.
And he was saying that his family was Jewish.
Right.
And Alex specifically said, my ex-wife isn't Jewish.
Really?
Yeah, he says it over and over again.
That's probably bad.
He has known this forever. People have thrown it in his face. And again, I need to keep repeating, they're wrong. Their argument is wrong and stupid. But the fact that Alex has made a change now and is using Kelly's heritage in order to protect himself from accusations that he's racist means... something.
Crazy how much the way you feel about things changes when they become valuable to you.
Yeah.
Really crazy how that happens.
Yeah, it's real.
Principles are really, really important until they get in your way and you have to abandon them.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I always get very interested when there's anomalies in behavior, and this is a big one. This is a really big one.
You know what? That's a really interesting question to me. Did he know his wife's Jewish heritage?
Yes. 1,000%.
Before they got married.
1,000%.
You think so?
They ended up getting married because of like common law marriage. Like they were together for a really long time before they ended up getting married. There's no way that he hadn't met her mom and known that she's Jewish.
Now.
He could just be such an asshole that he never cared.
You go. I do not put that past him.
It seems difficult.
The idea of Alex Jones not being that much of an asshole seems far more unlikely to me than him being on good terms with any Jewish person.
But you're forgetting that this is years and years ago, Alex Jones. It's not 2018, 2017.
That's true.
Alex Jones.
That's a good point.
He was still an asshole, but he could sit down and listen to somebody.
That's possible.
I think he'd do a nice job talking to the in-laws.
Fair enough.
Like that sort of thing. But anyway, that brings us to the end of Tuesday.
Okay.
Tuesday's show has come and gone. There were a couple interviews, but they're not really important. A lady named Brittany Pettibone was on the show.
Uh-huh.
And she was just...
Oh, yeah, the Pettibone?
She was just on because Tommy Robinson mentioned her the day before because she was trying to interview him and got...
So her name is fake, too?
What's up? Probably.
Yeah.
It's not really a good interview at all.
I assume Tommy Robinson only knows people... by their fake
pseudonyms.
Name. Yeah.
The interview is mostly about how Alex is getting sued by the Pope. So he just tries to be like, my oppression's pretty intense, right? He's trying to impress her with his plight.
Gotcha.
And it's kind of lame. And then Lee Stranahan, who again is a writer for Sputnik,
right,
and is getting sued along with Alex. Right. And they just talk about how, like, this goes real deep.
Yes, of course. Hey, follow the money. Right. Follow the money. Eventually you get back to the Pope. That's what I knew about the Watergate scandal, right?
Yeah.
That's why Nixon actually resigned.
Totally.
Is because the Pope made him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There we go.
You get it.
I get it now. It's the Jesuits.
Jesuits.
Yeah. The five Jesuit bankers. That's who is suing him.
Exactly. So we move on to Wednesday, and on Wednesday, Alex has gotten some insider information. He's still complaining a lot about the lawsuit. But there were those bombings in Austin, you know? Remember those?
Yes, that's true.
Alex has heard from very reliable inside sources some information about these bombings that he wants to convey to his audience.
Well, the Pope was just there.
Absolutely.
When I was given the info, I said, well, am I able to put this out? I don't want to hurt the investigation. They said, yeah, we've determined we're going to let you break it. Because I think the police just want you to see when it comes out how credible we are. In fact, get me Don Salazar in here, please. I know Kit's overwhelmed. Everybody's doing a great job. Just get a Don in here. And I meant to have our security folks, we didn't want to search it on our own phones, search the type of bombs.
Smart. Don't look up bomb shit on your phones.
Put them in the refrigerator.
And I'm going to break when we come back the exclusive of the bomb.
I saw Citizen
and see, we're given this by the FBI and by the other people like at Vegas, so when it comes out, we're right. People can understand that they're good people in the government and
never
that InfoWars has real sources. Patriots know how to save InfoWars.
They Tom Brady,
to give
too.
Us the best information. Two explosions in Austin. One dead, two injured. That was on Monday. There was another one on March 2nd. And Don, I'm going to give you the exclusive during the break. And do me a favor, go get the one of the security guys, you know, the one I'm talking about, because I want to be able to have him help you with this, because I meant to come in early and get with you and give you the details of
the
weapons.
Guy?
Yeah.
These are bombs cooked on the front porch of the house. Takes about 20 minutes. They're a pressure relief bomb, and that's why it's so bizarre. This person is, in broad daylight, mixing and cooking the bomb, and then putting it on the porch, and when the person
does he have a cauldron
off the top, it detonates, and that's the main reason law enforcement wants us to go ahead and do this, because higher ups are saying don't release it. They're like, no, people need to know if there's more of these bombs. So if there's something on your front porch, do not touch it. We'll be right back.
That last thing is fine.
Did you order anything from Amazon? Don't touch it. It's a home-cooked bomb.
That last piece of advice, don't touch it.
Somebody just double toiled and troubled you, my friend.
Well, so Alex is saying that his law enforcement sources have given this information so he can report it, and when the truth comes out,
the police to InfoWars first to make him look good.
Right. So in the end, once all the facts are out,
yep,
you know, we'll be like, oh shit, Alex does have real sources.
Also,
so, hold on.
If you are cooking a bomb, take more than 20 minutes. Be thorough.
I would assume.
That's all I'm going to say.
Slow cook your bombs.
Yeah, absolutely. Get a Dutch oven.
So Alex's assertion here, and it doesn't change over the course of the show. The only things that he says about this secret information is that they are amateurish bombs, which I think anyone could assume.
I would hope so.
Also that someone is making them on porches.
In front of their neighbors.
Which is crazy.
It's a great idea.
That seems unlikely because it kind of undoes all of the advantages that bombing has. One of the reasons that you bomb things are so you don't have to be there.
That's a smart idea.
For very long. You generally throw them or drop them somewhere and then run away.
I see like one of those suburban cul-de-sacs where he's just out on the front porch, a nice little McMansion house, and he's just stirring up some bomb shit and waving it. Hey, you're mowing your lawn? It's a great day today. I'm making a bomb.
Right.
You ever make a bomb?
It seems like that would put the would-be bomber in an incredibly vulnerable position.
It's not a good idea.
It seems like and look, I don't know the reality of the situation. I don't have fake sources, but I do think that if you're going to bomb something, that is not the plan. Like that's not You would, if you Googled how to make a bomb and you found this result, sit on someone's porch for 20 minutes putting
the pieces together.
You'd be like, I'm going to go to the next result.
Yeah.
That seems.
For the first time, I'm going to go to the second page of Google results.
That seems like a bad way to make a bomb.
Not a good way to make a bomb.
But I don't know. We'll see how this plays out. Also on, Tuesday.
How would you make a bomb?
I wouldn't. Also on Wednesday.
All right. That's a less fun.
What? I wouldn't make a bomb.
I would make a bomb.
I'd make a bong out of an apple.
All right. Nice.
Or a mechanical pencil bong back in junior high.
I think if I were capable of making a bomb, I might make a bomb. Not to use or abuse in any way.
You're physically capable.
But I'm not really capable of
emotionally.
Making a bomb. I have a lot of fears built up inside about bombs. Like,
are you politically capable?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
All right,
you've heard my political speak.
Yeah, that's fair. So on Wednesday, it also came out. Not only is Alex Jones getting sued, Fox News is getting sued.
Yeah, by the Seth Rich family, right?
Seth Rich's parents.
Thank God.
I'm going to read here from this Mother Jones article about it. This is a lawsuit that's against Fox News, one of their reporters, and a guest on Fox News. The suit accuses Fox News reporter Malia Zimmerman and occasional guest Ed Batowski of having intentionally exploited Seth Rich's death by promoting the theory that Rich was killed after he leaked thousands of Democratic Party emails to WikiLeaks. The nation's intelligence agencies have concluded that the Russian government directed the hack of Democratic emails. The suit also claims that the defendants acted in such a way that it made it appear as if Joel and Mary Rich, Seth's parents, were involved in and confirmed the substance of the smear campaign. So the reality of everything that is real is that Seth Rich was shot twice in the early morning hours of July 10th, 2016, not far from his home in Washington, D.C.
Police suspect burglary.
Yes, he died.
Failed robbery.
He died soon after at a nearby hospital. He was conscious. If it was some sort of assassination,
he would have had call Larry Nichols on. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Any of those sorts of things. But again, that is crazy for me to even say. That is even, like, I think, inappropriate.
Yeah.
And I want to walk that back.
Absolutely.
But his killers were never caught. D.C. police have said they believe Rich's killing was the result of a botched robbery. In the absence of definitive answers, conspiracy theories have proliferated online, claiming without evidence that Rich was murdered under more suspicious circumstances. On May 16th, 2017, almost a year after Rich's death, Zimmerman, who's being sued, published a story that seemed to bolster these theories, titled, "Slain DNC Staffer Had Contact with WikiLeaks, Say Multiple Sources." The report quoted an unnamed federal investigator who claimed to have, quote, seen and read the emails between Seth Rich and WikiLeaks and was heavily promoted on Fox. Host Sean Hannity peddled Zimmerman's findings on multiple occasions. Yet a week later, Fox retracted the story after the Rich family filed a complaint, and the sources for Zimmerman's report refuted what she had written. One of Zimmerman's supposed sources, a private investigator named Rod Wheeler, later filed his own suit against Fox News, Zimmerman, and Butowski for allegedly fabricating quotes attributed to him that connected Rich with WikiLeaks. Also, there have been a number of emails from Butowski that have come out that are a part of this lawsuit. One of them is going to read you here. This is a email that Butowski wrote to a bunch of Fox News producers, including Steve Doocy, Gavin Haddon, Ainsley Earnhardt, and Brian Kilmeade regarding...
I would bomb Steve Doocy.
Okay. regarding that article that she was writing.
Yeah.
If you have any questions about the story or more information needed, call me at blank phone number. I'm actually the one who's putting this together, but as you know, I keep my name out of things because I have no credibility. One of the big conclusions we need to draw from this is that the Russians did not hack our computer systems and steal emails, and there was no collusion with Trump and the Russians. So there's a bunch of, like...
That's a pretty incriminating email.
Yeah.
People gotta not incriminate themselves with email.
And there are more. It's
very
clear. And so this...
These are the worst criminals. They're so bad at it.
Yeah.
They should learn how to make a bomb.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, at this point.
They are the, porch bomb makers, of news.
At this point, this lawsuit is going to be successful.
Absolutely.
This is going to be a disastrous lawsuit, and it's going to be very difficult for, the people on the right to have to deal with. Roger Stone is also in play with this because he pushed a lot of it on Alex's show. Yeah. But here's the good news about this. That lawsuit is not about saying that Seth Rich was killed because of the DNC hacks or anything like that. It's about specifically this conspiracy that Ed Butowski, Malia Zimmerman, and executives at Fox conspired in.
Yes.
That's what it's about.
Yes.
So Alex knows that he can insinuate himself in it and try and flex and be like, come sue me because I talk about the Seth Rich shit too.
Right.
And he knows he's safe because that's not what the lawsuit is about.
Right, 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 right.
So he postures a little bit here on this and then makes a weird admission.
Fox News – so with this lawsuit, all right.
One of these days I'm going to keep track – of,
how many times I interview? Hey, well, no. Look, you say things, and then you're like, and now this next clip, and I don't have time to respond before you're mad at me for interrupting.
Interruption? Totally fine.
I disagree.
But when I say, in this next clip.
But you always say something huge, and then you're like, and in this next clip, and it's like, I want to respond to this.
To be fair, all of that was set up for this clip.
All right.
But anyway, sorry, go ahead.
No.
I insist.
After you.
You can have this dance.
Okay. All right. With this lawsuit, because it is not about what Fox News personalities said.
Right.
Can they force an on-air apology? Because I don't think they're capable of doing that, right?
No.
So what they can do is get a shit ton of money out of this, as well as censorship and all of that kind of stuff. But they can't censorship.
No.
Not censorship.
I think they could make, like Ed Butowski or Malia Zimmerman make an apology.
Right.
Or something like that.
But that's not who you want making an apology. You want
the Deuce.
Hannity.
You want the Hannity.
Fucking Hannity and Ducey.
Yeah.
Going on TV saying, we literally lied to you.
But I think you could introduce into the court record and all that this story is a product of a conspiracy to commit fraud and propaganda.
Right.
I don't know how helpful that is. You're right.
Yeah. But that's because that's what you need out of this lawsuit is you need these guys to go on Fox News and say, I lied.
You know what?
Based on this conspiracy.
You know what, though? I think that this case could be a building block because if they are successful in this lawsuit, then you can establish that the story is based in this conspiracy between Ed Butowski, Malia Zimmerman, and Fox News executives.
That's a good point.
And then at that point, you could probably bring smaller suits against people who pushed the narratives,
yeah,
especially the people who worked at Fox News.
But they have plausible, don't have plausible deniability, but they do have deniability.
But you couldn't sue them for damages or anything like that, but you could sue them to retract.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Right.
So possibly.
But they already retracted the story.
Fox News did, but Sean Hannity said, I don't.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That fucking monster.
And Roger.
God, I hate Steve.
And Roger Stone.
God,
hasn't.
I hate him.
Roger Stone hasn't. He was talking about it on the show the other day.
Roger Stone is untouchable.
Yeah.
Somehow he is a miracle worker.
A fancy little Teflon.
That dances
punk.
Around like a fucking leprechaun in a goddamn fairy ring.
So anyway, in this next clip, Alex talks about that lawsuit. I think he wants in, but only in as much as he knows he can't be in,
right,
because of what the suit is actually about.
Right.
He wants in on the fake version of it that he's presenting.
Yeah, which is a smart move for him.
But it doesn't exist.
Of course not.
And then he makes a startling...
Which has never bothered him in the past.
He makes a startling admission at the end of this clip.
And it's the same thing. Fox News, the next day, sued. Democratic Party funded. That's admitted. For questioning Seth Rich's murder and saying he might be the source.
That's not why.
Nope.
It's not the suit.
Of the WikiLeaks. And then Assange says, we don't give up sources, but it should be investigated because he's a source.
Not quite what he said.
But see, it's this whole emotion thing. Well, it's the parents and they're suing. She says she can't work anymore after her son was killed because of the murder and coverage. Lady, I'm sorry Seth got killed. We're trying to find out who did it. They still haven't been found. And if we investigate that, are you going to sue me?
You're not investigating.
Well, I got to keep speaking. See, I'm not here to get my own bacon out of things. I'm here to try to get
all our bacon
out of the fire. So people that are self-centered out there think, oh, Jones, man, he's got all these lawsuits against him. Oh, my God. Did you know that actually we're budgeting all this out? It's always the same. It's crazy. As each suit comes in, more money comes in, and it's always what's budgeted for what we need. It's biblical.
Oh, what a coincidence.
No!
What a coincidence.
No!
The more I get sued and the more I scream about how if you don't give me money, we'll be destroyed, more money comes in.
We budget it.
Almost like it's biblical.
That, boy.
That's fucked up. Yeah. He shouldn't say stuff like that on the air.
That is fucked up.
Yeah, but again, you see what he's doing there. He's creating a fake version of the lawsuit in order to be like flex for his audience and be like,
right.
What? Look, we care more about solving your son's murder than you do, lady.
Yeah.
So are you going to get mad when we investigate it? And by investigate, I mean use him as a prop.
Yeah.
I would be mad.
Give me any sign of an investigation that they've done.
Not, I don't have one.
Any. Like anything.
Well, I don't have
one. Like, did they even do interviews?
Well, hold on. Does hearsay count as investigation?
That's a good point.
Cause if so, in court, done a lot.
In court, sure doesn't.
So, at this point, we're in Wednesday.
Yes.
And on Tuesday evening, there was a, special election in the Pennsylvania 18th district.
Right. It didn't go well for anybody.
I think it went great for Democrats.
No, well, I mean, for...
Technically speaking.
For Democrats,
yeah.
Not for the humans.
Well, yeah, Conor Lamb isn't the greatest candidate ever.
No. No, he's not.
But what you take away from that, that district going plus 20 for Trump before,
right.
And then
right.
A dead heat. Now, you look at numbers like that, and you're like, oh, boy. That matches up with a lot of other things we've seen.
Yeah.
This sort of normalization coming to the middle.
I mean, it's just the Republican light is the reason we got Republican hard. That's the issue.
That's
the situation that gave us Trump in the fucking first place. This idea of neoliberalism being a fucking thing.
Yeah.
It's not. It's just Republicanism 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's all neoliberalism is. Republicanism isn't a word.
I don't necessarily want to engage with that because it's irrelevant to the matter at hand.
Fair enough.
I don't care. I don't live in Pennsylvania.
Good point.
Not a Conor Lamb supporter.
Fair enough.
Necessarily. Also, Scott Adams ends up coming on the show today.
God damn it!
We're not going to listen to him.
Okay.
But it is funny because Alex keeps calling him Dilbert accidentally.
That's hilarious.
He's like, we got Scott Dilbert. I mean, Scott Adams is on the show. He keeps... He does it like four times.
Yeah.
And Scott Adams's argument is that Conor Lamb won because he is the person who reminds voters most of Trump.
That doesn't track.
Solid spin, though.
It is solid spin.
So anyway, here's Alex.
It could be that the other candidate was the dumbest possible fucking candidate they could ever have run.
Hey. I don't know. Seems to be a trend.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Roy Moore.
That's a good point.
Anyway, here's Alex's take on the Pennsylvania election. Spoiler alert. The Democrats stole it.
And I haven't even gotten into the special congressional election. You know, the big question is, did the Democrats cheat? The Democrats only winning by that congressional special election, 641 votes. They said he was 10 points ahead the whole time. That's how they manipulate the population. People have a bandwagon effect.
Nope.
And
that's an argument that he keeps making, is that like the Democrats say that their guy is going to win by a bunch. They said that Doug Jones was going to win by a ton, and that makes the right disenfranchised and not want to come out and vote, which is a stupid argument.
That's a dumb argument. The more the right would feel threatened, the more likely they are to come out. Like, every report on all of that shit was like, holy shit, he's only down by 3.
Yeah.
That's bananas.
Yeah, yeah. And when he says he's up 10 or whatever, it's up, like, the predictions were up 10 versus...
Compared to, yes.
The 2016
exactly.
Race. It wasn't that he'd made a 30-point swing.
No.
So anyway, Democrats stole it.
Obviously.
He's already declared victory.
Pope.
Look at that. Another smiley-faced establishment henchman of the globalist.
Yay! Attack his appearance.
And all of that's unfolding. The Democrats organize people all over the place to get folks to vote in the names of dead people. It's on record. So if somebody loses in a big state by 600, you better believe they got it stolen.
Mm.
The poll said Roy Moore was 15 points behind.
Do you mean like George fucking Bush?
And then, oh.
Neighbors.
Some precincts had more people vote than were on the voter rolls for the Democrat.
The Democrat. This is interesting because, I mean, what he's saying essentially is that if you ever have a close race,
That shit was...
It's been stolen.
That shit was stolen.
Has he ever seen the... I feel like he saw the movie Black Sheep starring, what?
Tommy,
Chris Farley.
Starring
and,
Tommy Boy?
Yeah. And he was like, well, that's obviously how elections work.
Yeah.
This old white lady goes crazy.
So there, I mean, you really want to get, I don't fucking care. Not about you,
know what
you
my
not
problem?
About you or your,
you know what
your...
my problem with Black Sheep?
What?
Didn't get enough into policy. I really, at this point, I don't know who to be rooting for.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
I didn't mean that I don't want to get into what you're talking about. I meant more, I don't want to get into what Alex is talking about because it's fucking stupid and it's just, like, If the Republican had won by 640 votes, he would have been like, congratulations on defeating the Democratic onslaught.
Against all odds.
Yeah, exactly.
Against the polling saying that you would never win. This is Trump 2.0 is what this is.
But he says something unfortunate at the end there where he says that more votes were cast than registered voters.
Right. Like in Black
and
Sheep.
And they all went to Democrats.
Like in Black Sheep.
You can trace this back to an article on a website called Daily World Update. That's
got to be a bad website.
It's a political trolling and satire website.
Of course.
It's a completely fake website.
If people were voting in the names of dead people, they could have just voted in their own names.
Well, they could have done that, yeah.
They're not voting. What he's saying is not that they're voting twice.
No, he is.
It's that they're just, like, voting in the name of dead people.
No, he is. He's saying they're voting 10 times in the names of dead people.
Oh, yeah?
And shit like that. There's actually a really interesting rant he goes on where he's talking about how, like, everybody says it's the illegals. It's not. It's winos.
That is an interesting argument.
He's like...
So he's saying that the homeless are voting?
Well, he's had to move on because of the toxicity of these hearings about Chris Kobach's, his voter, inquiry, shit that he's done.
Do you mean the fact that it was the fucking worst?
Where they were analyzing people's names to see if they were Anglo?
Yeah.
Like that sort of stuff is nuts. Like that is unscientific and racist.
I mean,
Alex realizes enough that he's like, I gotta twist this narrative a little bit. Hobos.
Yeah.
It was hobos.
But hobos have the legal right to vote.
They get them a bunch of whiskey and they stumble in drunk to voting places and like, yeah, I'm him. Yeah.
Why haven't we seen that in presidential election coverage? Like, okay, we break down the white vote, the black vote, and the drunk vote. Have we considered adding the drunk vote? How much does the drunk vote swing an election?
It's not real. This is all nonsense.
I want that put into demographics.
You want the hobo vote?
I want the hobo vote.
I think a lot of...
If I ever get elected for anything, it's going to be because of the hobo vote.
I think one of the unfortunate things that you're going to run into...
The hobo.
...for your political career and aspirations...
threatening to bomb Steve Doocy?
Well, that's going to be a part of it.
That might be a popular thing, though.
Another part of it, too, is that a lot of the times you're going to run into a lot of felonies in the homeless community, in the hobo community.
They don't tend to have the right to vote as much.
Yeah. You're going to run into a lot of... people enthusiastically on your side.
It is true.
But without rights.
Yeah. Hey, great. Our justice system is awesome.
Well, I mean, you can only really be on drugs and loiter for so long before you get a trumped up charge of some sort.
Yeah. Or just have a severe mental illness and have been kicked out because Reagan destroyed the... Anyways.
Yeah.
Anyways... If you think Reagan was a good president, fuck off.
So speaking of people with mental illness.
Yes.
At this point on the show.
Andy and Kang.
At this point in the show, on Wednesday, Alex Jones has his... boy, it's tough to figure out who's the worst.
Oh.
It's either first or second worst guest of the day.
Okay.
Because Dilbert doesn't rank. He's just boring.
No, he's just nonsense.
And Roger Stone.
He's just the guy who made Dilbert. Who gives a shit what he has to think?
Yeah, and you know what? For the stuff he's saying is not good, but he's so boring.
Yeah.
He's
like a Dilbert.
He's a David Knight-ish kind of boring, where he sounds analytical, but what he's saying is just nonsense. He's like, we don't have to worry about these kids walking out of their schools to protest gun laws because the kids are the stupidest people in the society. Like, ugh.
Sure doesn't seem like it. Scott Adams, creator of Dilbert?
Hey, Dilbert.
Maybe.
Hey, Dilbert. the reason they're protesting is they don't want to get shot at school.
It seems like that's a smart move.
But he still doesn't rank.
Not creating Catbert.
Catbert was actually my favorite character.
Hey.
Because I like cats.
Oh, okay.
And I like that song, Cool for Cats. By Squeeze. Was okay. It by Squeeze?
All right.
Anyway.
I don't think he made that song, though.
So the two top awful guests on the show.
Yes.
Are Steve Pachenik and one.
Steve Pachenik keeping his streak alive.
One Gavin McGinnis.
Oh, no! How is he still around?
Boy, he hasn't been around.
Who hasn't bombed him?
He hasn't been around for a while. It's been a long time since I've seen him on Alex's show. So when we last met Gavin McGinnis, he was saying that most blackface was reverent.
Right. Yep.
I believe.
Sounds right.
He's created the definitely not racist, not misogynistic fraternity, the Proud Boys. And the fraternal knights of the Proud Boys go around and try and beat people up at liberal rallies and what
have you. Like Gallagher, too, he bought Al Jolson's material.
Reverend.
And he's been going around as Al Jolson, too. You know that, right?
I've heard that.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
That's a very famous truth.
Back then, he was working for Rebel Media.
Right.
He had a show on Rebel Media, did the Gavin McGinnis show. And then I believe he left that and started working for Opie. Anthony
I was going to say, Opie ain't there no more, neither.
Anthony Cumia. He started working for Anthony Cumia at Compound Media, I believe, because that's his business. And he had a Gavin McGinnis show there, but I believe that has since ended. And now he has another show that I believe is just on YouTube.
Is it also called the Gavin McGinnis Show?
No, get this. It's called Get Off My Lawn.
These are the least how do we lose? These are the least imaginative people in the world.
We're not losing to Gavin McGinnis.
No, that's true.
Gavin McGinnis sucks so much.
He probably has more viewers than us.
Yeah, he probably. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But in a certain sense, we are
to be fair,
the Get Off My Lawn show.
Like, if we one time just decided to do, like, with our abilities and our, our intelligence, just decided to do an episode where we were intentionally antagonistic and racist, I bet we'd get a lot of new followers.
I agree.
I mean, they would.
I think you're right.
They would quickly learn, like, oh, these guys.
Oh, we got fucked!
And some of our fans would be like, that was not worth it.
Yeah,
so
of course
so we will never do something like that.
No.
But yeah, of course, it's very, very easy to attract followers
now
when you're hateful.
Here's what we should do, right?
When you're hateful,
we should do the opposite of that. We should call our show Get On My Lawn, and then the next recommendation. So if we get popular enough with Get On My Lawn.
That's not even the
opposite. After watching Get Off My Lawn, the next recommended video will be Get On My Lawn.
That's not the opposite.
What's the opposite?
Get on my yard. Get on my,
yard on my lawn.
There we go.
Get on
go
the yard of my lawn.
Go yard on my lawn. We're playing baseball
okay,
now.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
Hit a couple of dingers on my lawn.
So, Gavin McGinnis sucks.
Yeah.
He's the worst, and I'd like to apologize to our listeners for making you listen to him, but it's worth it on some level.
How do these guys become successful?
Well, he started Vice.
Right. No, exactly.
That's how he got successful.
How is it that this monster...
He started Vice and then quickly got kicked out.
Right. Because of course.
Yeah.
Because he hired people who were like, ooh, we work for Gavin McGinnis. Shit.
And this really weird, fairly hostile, abusive, male-dominated workplace would be much more fun without that guy.
Yeah.
So they kicked him out. He made some money. Far out is telling me in the chat room that he was on Kenny versus Spenny, which I don't care about. That is interesting trivia, but certainly does not explain his celebrity.
Yeah, Gavin, you were too toxic male to work at a toxically masculine place.
Yeah, early.
Yeah.
So, that's a good one. Propdue said a good version of it would be Redo My Lawn.
Oh, there you go.
Which turns into a home improvement show. oh boy.
Like Home Improvement.
I gotcha.
All right.
So here's the first clip.
I'm terrible at the Tim Allen grunt.
So Alex introduces Gavin McGinnis and he says, he's the host of the show Get Off My Lawn, and yes. I almost did a spit take because I was like, "That's
because that's a crazy name for a show."
Yeah, it's so hacky, it's so on the nose. We're like, "I'm a fucking pissed off white guy."
Yeah, yeah,
it's so stupid. It's like
right.
So I was like, "That's crazy," and then he's like, "Hey, Gavin, what's on your mind?" And then there's a long pause, and like, "Oh, your mic wasn't on." So Gavin's in the middle of a rant. Right. So he's talking and you see his mouth moving, but no yeah. audio because they didn't fucking work.
Was he very yet. Animated as well? Just doing the whole arm.
Gavin's never animated.
Oh, okay.
So he's talking.
So it was directed by Clint Eastwood then.
Yes. Yeah. Who also wants people off his lawn.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
So Gavin's talking with no audio.
When he made that movie,
Gran Torino?
No. Gran Turismo.
Boy, it's close.
It's a great movie.
One's a video game, I think.
Lot of racing.
What's Gran Torino? No, that was
a lot of racist racing.
That was a Cardigans album. Big fan of the Cardigans. Love Fool. Right. My favorite game. Strong right. songs.
There you go.
Anyway, Jordan, I'm only engaging with all this because I also don't want to listen to Gavin McGinnis. I know we have
yes,
to.
Let's delay. Let's
I know
delay.
We have to, yeah, but yeah.
If you were going to bob, how would you bob?
I feel like that's the worst possible way for you to try and make more time. Hey, let's go back to another thing Dan didn't want to
all
talk
right.
about.
All right. Fair enough. Mm. No, you're not wrong. Mm. It is a bad callback for the particular situation we're
so
in.
Get Off My Lawn is introduced. Alex says, what's on your mind? Big silence. Gavin's in the middle of a
technical
rant.
Technical difficulties.
And then Alex tells him, hey, man. We didn't have the mic on. Start it over.
Because nothing is more genuine than restarting a rant.
Start it over.
Restart that rant.
Gavin McGinnis, take two. And this is what comes.
Here's what I can't stop thinking about today. So George Soros, according to AJ
Bears.
Plus, according to some washed-up comedian named Matt Lieb that I just saw,
and Dan Friesen.
Did a video about this. George Soros, according to the left, is not a Nazi. I know that he led the Nazis to Jewish homes where they were then exterminated.
Oh,
I know on 60 Minutes he said that was the happiest time of his life.
Oh, boy.
We know that he doesn't identify with Judaism. He's an atheist and his dad hated Jews. But he's not a Nazi. However, anti-globalists such as Alan Dershowitz, Dennis Prager, Ben Shapiro, as Levant.
The Dersh.
All of these Jewish anti-globalists, well, they are Nazis, you see. And it's amazing the pretzel that they can twist their own logic into when it comes to this ridiculous Nazi allegation.
So we have a very interesting start to the interview.
There's one thing that anti-Semitic people always say, and that is that the Jews are the Nazis.
Right. That's a part of Holocaust denial, especially.
Then they insist that they are not anti-Semitic.
Well, I mean,
a
very large part of the Holocaust denial community isn't necessarily saying that the Holocaust didn't happen.
No, it's they're just saying that the Jews are the reason it happened.
Yeah, because they demanded ransoms for
yeah.
people. And,
yeah, of course.
Forced
no.
their brethren into.
No, absolutely.
But I mean, what Gavin is really manifesting there is he's triggered. He's a triggered little butthurt baby.
Yeah.
Because his friends are being called Nazis, and it turns out that George Soros. No one wants to call him a Nazi except my friends who keep getting called Nazis.
Right.
And why won't anyone else call him a Nazi based on these things that aren't true that I keep saying about him? And Alex says, it's nuts.
That is coincidental.
It's very
nuts. I think it's obviously the Pope.
Oh, it's certainly the Jesuits.
Yep.
But like,
because if there's one thing I know about Catholics, historically, they love the Jews.
There
has never been a huge issue with the Catholics and the Jews.
So the reality of we've gone over and over again with George Soros, the like
not a Nazi. Well, he was a Nazi, kind of a Nazi, not sure. Anyways, he wasn't actively killing Jews.
No, he was going after people who had been taken to camps,
yeah.
Along with his godparent, who
right.
he was in hiding with.
Wasn't
when
a
he
hero.
Was 14.
Wasn't a martyr.
No.
But no. not a, it's still not the Nazi they describe him as.
Certainly not. Nazi collaborator is Alex Jones being able to get away with linguistic games.
Yep.
Because he knows that Soros is never going to sue
right.
him for that.
Like Gran Turismo.
Like that. It's just a shit game that he's playing, and all it is he's trying to They're like, eh. Here's what we have to deal with. Here's what we fucking have to deal with right up top. Gavin McGinnis thinks he's a comedian. So he's.
They all do. Well, they all fucking. Whenever he, whenever. Not
especially Gavin.
Not all of them, but so many of these guys, whenever he says washed up comedian, it's like, so many of these right wing guys, you can find them at an open mic.
Right.
And it's like, you're the least funny person and you didn't get why.
And he said that the reason that he never succeeded as a comedian is because he's on the right and people kept him down.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Like that.
No.
As opposed to, like, when I was listening to this.
Yeah, comedy is famous for people who are not, at all explosive and provocative.
Edgy.
Yeah.
When I was listening to this, all I wanted to, like, I kept writing drafts of tweets I never sent out, but they were just like, Gavin McGinnis is straight up on InfoWars right now doing bits that wouldn't pass muster at an open mic.
Right. Exactly.
Like, he's just, like, he's doing comedy, but he's doing it, like, I have a new theory that I've been working out.
Okay.
Specifically, I've been thinking a lot about Gavin McGinnis in the last couple days because of this appearance.
Right.
Also
because you've been drinking a lot of Guinness recently, right?
I haven't. No, I don't that dessert beer. I don't like a stout. It's too thick. I believe that
you offended my people.
Your people?
Yes.
Okay.
The Jews.
The Jewish stouts. I believe that people like Gavin McGinnis, they present themselves as doing comedy and being political commentators.
Right.
With the awareness that they're bad at both. They know that. And so anytime their political opinions are shitty, they can be like, I was joking. I'm a comedian. Why are you taking me so seriously?
Right.
And then when they're not funny, they can be like, I'm a political commentator. I'm trying to make you think.
Right.
That wasn't supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
So he plays.
They're trying to play the line.
Yeah. And it's really sad. And it's fun on this episode a little bit because you got Alex Jones and him doing a two-man act. And Alex.
The worst two-man act.
But Alex doesn't, like, he has no improv training.
No.
So he can't go along with things. And so he kind of ruins bits a little bit along the way.
It's not even like you need improv training for what he's doing. You just need a basic knowledge of don't negate the premise. Well, and he does not have that at all.
No, but Alex doesn't even really understand what the premise is generally.
Right.
He doesn't realize anything. So at this point, when Gavin is saying, like, all this shit about George Soros and how, like, my friends aren't Nazis. Everyone calls them Nazis. Why won't more people call George Soros Nazis? Alex is like,
because your friends are Nazis.
Alex is like, hey, I actually have video. I have a video clip prepared that shows that George Soros is a Nazi.
Ooh.
And so this.
Oh, this is going to prove it then.
This is
just like Endgame. This is going to prove everything that he knows.
This is Alex Jones saying that, like, here's my demonstration that George Soros is guilty of the things I say that he's guilty of. But when we get to the end of this, it will make clear he is actually proving that he is committing slander.
So did he say first, does anybody like impressions?
No, he doesn't do that.
And then did he say, here's what I think Soros would sound like if he were a Nazi?
No. He just plays, I mean, this is just a, like, one of the things he plays coming back from break sometimes.
Okay.
When he has to fill commercials and he doesn't have any, because he doesn't have any sponsors, he just plays this. That
naturally.
Sort of thing. Anyway.
Yeah.
Here's some of the clips that Gavin McGinnis was talking about where Soros said it was the best time of his life. He's not ashamed at all. You know, he'd do it again and he helped round up Jews. Here it is.
Real quick before this video starts, it's very clear that Alex says he rounded up Jews.
He rounded them up.
So that's what this video clip is going to prove.
In Texas parlance, that means he lassoed him.
He roped him up.
And then put him in the thing.
Yep.
It's the claim that the August protest was some sort of left-wing plot. Who, you might ask, would say something so offensive? An elected representative who's serving right now in the U.S. Congress.
And look at the background. George Soros is one of those people that actually helps, you know, back these individuals. Who is he?
My understanding is that you went out with this protector of yours who swore that you were his adopted godson.
Yes.
Went out, in fact, and helped in the confiscation of property from the Jews.
That's right.
Was it difficult?
Not at all.
Right there already, I have to pause it because Alex has selectively edited this.
Of course.
He's not asking, the interview wasn't asking if it was difficult for him to do it. He's asking if it was difficult to.
If you are one of our many new listeners, first off, thank you. Second, refer back to all of our episodes.
Right.
When we discuss how Soros is not a Nazi.
It bears mentioning, though, just the specifically manipulative way he has edited this down.
Yeah.
Talking about what he's asking, the interviewer is asking him from 60 Minutes. He's asking him if the awareness was difficult for him he got older.
He was a child.
And it is not difficult. And he says the reason is because I knew that if I didn't do it, someone else would have done it. And that what he's saying by that is, they were already gone to the camps. If I didn't do it, someone else would have done it.
Right.
And he even says in the interview pretty clearly, I didn't go along with him all that often. It was a very occasional thing. So anyway, he's just manipulatively editing this, but let's get to the end of it.
Do you think George Soros funded the neo-Nazis who marched in Charlottesville?
Wouldn't it be interesting to find out?
It would be interesting to find out if that were true.
That's from a Vice, that's from that Vice special about the Charlottesville rally.
It'd be so interesting to find out.
Yeah.
These conspiracy theories were first spread by radio talk show host Alex Jones.
Is this lost on anyone? George Soros is a famous Nazi collaborator.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
So that last part in there
a good clip.
No, it's just a bumper package. That's what he's like, hey, Kevin, this will prove it.
Yeah.
It doesn't prove any of the stuff he says. It has nothing to do with him rounding up Jews. The stuff about the best time of my life, that even isn't in there.
No.
He did say that in the...
You should put that in there.
He said...
Why are we always giving advice to them?
He said
I was creating a scare clip, I would definitely put just that, and then maybe like a little bumper of like... So you worked with the Nazis and then cut it and then it'd be like,
it was the best
time of my life. And then you'd call it.
When he was talking about it being the best time of his life, he was referring to being that age, and being, somewhat free given the, sacrifices his father had made.
And of course, he was a huge Green Day fan.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's something unpredictable being
it
in
is.
The Holocaust.
That would be a very interesting song.
But in the end, still not right.
Where's Weird Al when you need him?
Thank God Soros had the time of his life. Bang-da-ding, bang-da-ding, bang-ba-ding. So anyway, in this next clip, Gavin and Alex do a little bit of two-man comedy about how liberals just mad at they daddies.
And then it's just, they're going, why do they hate Christians? Why do they, but then they always want to get into the
countries
that have the Christian ethos.
Yeah, it's a bizarre thing. I'm convinced it's daddy issues. You know, these children are all the children of divorce. They're mad at dad. I mean, they're mad at anti-Semitism when it's a white male because a white male reminds them of their dad. They're not mad when it's Reverend Wright or Louis Farrakhan or Linda Sarsour or basically all of Islam. They don't mind it then. So they're not about ideas. They're about who's saying the idea. And the common thread seems to be guys who look like you and me. And who else looks like that? Their dad. So
daddy.
We're dealing with petulant children who are still butthurt about a divorce that 50% of the country goes through. Grow up, baby.
By the way,
real quick, we'll get back to
it. Why don't they make the black box out of Jews?
Right, exactly. I mean, we'll get back to it later, like the rest of this clip, but that's a bad bit.
Yeah, that's
pathetic. Just a bad bit.
Yeah.
Like that's not analysis. That's not interesting. That's not political. That's not even socially relevant. It's
so,
just it's just something he's trying to workshop.
So if I understand his premise correctly, it is that we're mad that he's an anti-Semite because he looks like our dads.
Well, the anti-Semitism isn't even actually what makes us mad. It's that he looks like daddy. Daddy.
Oh, just that period.
Daddy, I'm mad at you, daddy.
He does not look like
daddy.
My dad. Is it just because he's white?
Yeah.
Is it just because we're mad that we have white fathers?
Yeah, I think that's what he's talking about.
Okay.
And Alex right. also
That's a bad bit.
Alex also doesn't look like my dad. Also, I want to...
Gavin, I'm just going to give you a little bit of advice. Comedy's in specificity.
Well, there's that. Also in creativity. Also in, making your premise make sense.
Right.
There's a lot of things that are important with
following
comedy.
Following through with it, creating your own logic. Absolutely.
I would say, personally... I find anti-Semitism wherever it exists offensive.
I'm a pretty bad. I'm not a huge fan.
I'm not. Those people are not targets of mine necessarily, specifically because we do an Alex Jones podcast. But that doesn't mean that they're off the hook. I believe whenever Alex Jones went over to Farrakhan, we made it very clear that the reason they got along is because they're both anti-Semites.
Yeah. I can be against Israel's apartheid state and at the same time against anti-Semitism.
Yeah. I also, my parents are super liberal and
also, my parents aren't, and I'm still not mad at you because you look at my dad.
Yeah.
Because you look like my dad.
We come.
Do you look at my dad?
We come from very different backgrounds. Neither are mad at Alex because of our daddies.
Speaking of which, my parents saw me do stand up for the very first time. I did not have the courage to do my cult bit. I wanted to do it, and then I was advised by the rest of my family, my girlfriend, everybody who has ever seen me do stand up was like, don't do the cult bit in front of your parents.
You know who would have done that bit?
Who?
Gavin McGinnis.
Gavin McGinnis would have done that
bit. He wouldn't have written the bit because it's funny.
No, it's very funny.
Anyway, here's the rest of
That's
this.
That's not true.
Here's the rest of this stupid analysis about daddy.
I used to think you were wrong about this theory 2 years ago, but now when leftists walk up to me and say, F you, they go, F you, why do you have so many kids? F your family in front of me. Or
sounds
they say,
like,
oh, where's your
like
family? If I'm by myself, when my, you know, my kids are with me 75% of the time, and I'm glad they're, you know, with their mom, son, whatever, fine. The point is that they're pissed I have a family, and they are pissed, and it's usually weird white males.
Weird white males.
And again, I'm not against gay people, but it's like half the time it's an old white woman or it's gay guys screaming F you Nazi and F your family. Why do you have kids? And I guess I don't understand it. I don't know what happened to these people.
I can explain it.
That's the most I'm not racist, but you can get about gay people.
Kind of, but I can explain it. Everyone hates you.
It's very direct.
No one's mad that you have a family. People yelling, hey, didn't you lose your kids? They're trying to hurt you.
Personally.
Because you hurt everyone. Because
you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, you hurt the public discourse. You hurt everyone. You're, the enemy of decency. But Gavin gets into that too, and he talks about how like everyone keeps sending me messages on Twitter and all over the place about like they want to attack my marriage and be like you're gonna get divorced soon. It's like it's not about. It's
I love that. Oh, sorry. Keep going.
The point I was going to make is that it's not about like attacking the family or attacking your family. It's using your family to attack you.
Yeah.
Because we hate you.
Personally.
Now I think that the people's approach is flawed, but I get it.
I just love that it's not Twitter people first. It's always people just walking by them on the street.
Oh, yeah.
It's always just, oh, I'm
trying.
You
hate the part where he's lying?
I am trying to go to Aldi, where I shop because I support small businesses or so.
I really just like 3 liters of soda instead of two.
And, people are coming up to me on the street. Always. Always people coming up to on the street, especially gay people, which
always
does
seems
not
to
hate.
Be gay people.
Doesn't hate. It's
always.
Just always old white women and gay people.
Right.
All he's saying, he doesn't hate white women and gay people, but old white women and gay people hate him.
Because he has a family.
Yeah, that might be because.
He goes on to say, the left, their religion is destroying the family.
Oh, it's
family.
The religion.
It's all a lot of nonsense.
Destroying the family.
So
you know how gay people who are in stable marriages are adopting people? Do you know why?
Mm.
Destroying the family.
Obviously. Boy, there's a weird, right. Far out's getting fancy in the chat room. Left some weird image. I thought someone.
Is he using words like cause celeb?
No, there's a weird image and I thought we had like an infiltrator trying to put like some, I don't know.
All right.
Anyway.
All right.
Anyway.
Calm it down.
I got worried.
Calm it down.
So in this next clip, look, my dude.
Okay. Is this how we're starting this next
one? We got a chat. We got a vibe about something.
Okay.
Here's how Gavin McGinnis would like to present the difference between himself and the left.
Marty against this.
the left is into identity politics.
Always, always.
Gavin is an idea man.
Oh, of course.
He's an idea guy.
Of course. These guys are not at all interested in white identity politics.
Well, but they, but, oh,
never,
but,
never,
no, no, no,
never, no, no, never.
Now they have some ideas.
They're, I mean, yeah, sure.
They have some ideas about how whites are great.
Might be, yeah. Might be, but it's not identity politics because
they have some ideas about like how the whites are the best.
I was really struggling to find a reason.
Yeah, sorry. I had to jump in there. Like Western chauvinist supremacy.
Oh, it's the West.
Right.
It's the West. It's always the West.
But that's how he couches his ideas.
Right, right,
Gavin
right.
McInnes is an idea, man.
Oh, yeah.
So in this next clip, he talks about some of his ideas. And I will say ahead of time, he is fucking stupid. And then at the end of this, he says one of the fucking craziest things I've ever heard in my life.
All right. I'm in.
This is legitimately crazier than blackface was reverent.
All right. I'm in.
Well, those people came up to you at the mall or the grocery store and they said you have too many kids.
Didn't.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's talk about ideas. So your concern is overpopulation.
It's an idea.
Okay.
Man.
Let me look it up. Oh, it turns out that the American citizens that they tend to have a population that's stationary or going down. The American population is going up. But it's almost all immigrants,
yes.
Mostly Mexican going up. So you must hate them then.
Well, here's why your idea is flawed there. Those people already exist.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Also, it turns out.
That's a great idea.
When people talk about overpopulation, generally what they're talking about is the big picture as opposed to, hey, 20 people over here, 50 people
nope.
over here.
Nope.
Yeah. So your ideas are already a little.
Dan, do you know what he was talking about?
Mm.
White people need to fuck more, create more kids.
Shockingly, that's about to come up.
Oh!
If you're against overpopulation. No, we love them. And you look at Time magazine, and it'll have one month, it'll say, don't have babies, we have too many babies, and I'll have all white babies in the picture. And then the next week, it will say, the new face of America, or the new face of Europe.
You know what's fucking weird to me? Like, there is an actual organization called the Voluntary Human Extinction Movement. It's called Vehement. Like, it's an actual group that exists. You can find their website.
I joined.
A buddy of mine was a friend.
Immediately.
Yeah, a buddy of mine in college
White
was a friend.
White genocide. Hard yes.
Well, yeah, like this voluntary, like, pledge of I will not have kids. We don't deserve to continue to live on this
right.
planet. Alex has never mentioned them, and they are real. Like, I just realized that.
That's because they might have a legitimate grievance.
Well, probably be tough to argue.
Look, all I'm saying is read a history book and hear the phrase, then the white man came, and not be like, ooh, some bad shit's about to happen.
I mean, that's even true for, like, Animal Kingdom.
Yeah. then the white man.
Yeah. That's not even just true for humans.
And then the albino lions came.
Yeah. No, I mean the white man came and then now there's no more squirrels.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Or the West is turning brown, and they'll talk about how great it is to have refugees. And you realize, oh, you're all about identity politics and the individuals involved and what race they are. We're involved in ideas. And what's kind of fun about that is
Wait.
Their stupid idea is not to breed and not to have families. Our stupid idea is to breed like rats, and they are going to be extinct. Our children are not going to have to deal with these annoying childless lesbian feminists because they're all going to be gone. They're the dodo birds.
And by the way, I have nothing against lesbians. I don't think that my wife doesn't, okay?
Stop saying that!
But that's his...
Stop saying that you don't have anything against them because clearly you fucking do!
Neighbors. But, like, there's... Like, that's Alex not knowing how to play the game.
Yeah.
Like, that's Gavin McInnes, he's doing a bit. Now, granted, he's probably expressing things that are, like, pretty close to his heart. But at the same time, he's doing something that he thinks is funny. He thinks that's funny.
He's doing a variation on the, you know what? They say eggs are good for you. And then the next week, they say they got too much cholesterol.
Right.
And then it's the whites of the eggs that are fine. And you know I love whites.
And then they tell you brown eggs are good.
Oh, and you know what? There isn't even a difference.
Right.
I don't even know.
The other thing I really want to take away from that is that at the end there, that is a fucking crazy sentence that he says. If you just unpack the idea that in our children won't have to deal with these lesbian feminist dodo birds.
We're running out.
Because here are the various assumptions that underlie that. One.
Yes.
Gay people give birth to gay kids exclusively. That's true. The only way that happens.
Unless they don't, which they can't, because they are gay.
No. That is part of his premise.
Right.
These lesbian feminists who annoy him so much are not going to have kids, therefore people who have the same beliefs as them will not exist in the next generation.
Oh, of course.
Which is crazy. That's nuts.
If there's anything we've seen from the way that high schoolers have reacted to the Parkland shooting,
mm-hmm.
it's that that ideology is going to die out. Right?
I on some level, I hope it doesn't because it's so spectacular. I mean, it's so amazing.
Yeah.
Like that sentence, I could write probably a 10-page paper on alone just because of the various pieces that need to be unpacked. Like what I just said, the idea that he seems to be representing the position that gay parents give birth to gay children, straight parents don't, or feminist parents give birth to feminist children, otherwise no.
Before you let me rebut that first one. And then we'll go through there. Mm. I think more his ideology is that because gay people can't reproduce, which he thinks is a thing.
No, we're going to get to that's part of my third prong of this.
Okay. Well, then continue.
Okay. So,
I apologize for not allowing you to complete your full argument.
The second prong of this is this weird fucking belief. I believe that he's espousing,
which is to invade Russia in winter.
No. somehow that makes more sense though. it seems to me that he's presenting that these lesbian feminists that he's so annoyed by haven't existed in the past.
Never.
This is the first time that they have been annoyance to grumpy white males.
It's crazy.
And that they're not having kids, so it'll be a unique phenomenon for 2018 grumpy white dudes to have to put up with. Pretending that the Isle of Lesbos wasn't the thing and Sappho back in Grecian history.
I've read her poetry.
Right. But the idea that lesbianism hasn't existed throughout the entirety of our history, or the idea of women's rights hasn't existed, the idea of matrilineal societies and whatever.
Never an issue in the past.
It's so crazy. He's just
I saw a Wonder Woman. That died out.
He's so triggered by the idea of women having autonomy and authority that he's creating the perception that it's a current thing. Like it's just now. And it'll die out. They're not having kids, so it's going to die out.
Right.
As opposed to being like, oh, no, you could have two very right-wing parents who end up giving birth to a childless feminist lesbian that will really piss you off. Like,
right.
Because the philosophy is not genetic. Then the third prong of it is what really seems to be pissing him off, and that's what you brought up. And that is he's mad that white people who could reproduce aren't.
Yeah.
I think that's really what's more behind it. Because they do keep talking about how, like, it's all these weird gay white people, and, you know, he says, we breed like rabbits, you guys don't breed. I guess he actually said we breed like rats, which is not the go-to example. But I think in his worldview, there's a part of him that's pissed off that they don't fucking make more white people.
Well, but that's crazy. That is reason number one that you see those gay people aren't allowed to adopt laws. Which is,
because they're going
to
adopt brown people.
No. Which is, they're going to raise them gay.
Oh, yeah.
That's that concept. That's the idea.
The reason my mind didn't go to that is I felt like that is such an old idea.
It's exactly what they think.
Yeah.
No matter what they dress it up as, their concept is, oh, if we allow gay people to raise children, that means more gay people.
Oh, they can also still reproduce through surrogates and what have you.
Right. And if we allow them to have children, they're going to raise more gay people.
Right.
Like, their concept of sexuality is genetic.
It's kind of like we can get rid of it in one generation.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
We just ostracize hard enough.
No. It's the fucking brontosaurus theory of like, well, they're going to die out, so we don't need to worry about them. Like all of
absolutely
this.
Absolutely insane.
All of this concept work is built on the idea of genetics.
Mm-hmm.
And it all goes back and back and back. It goes back to fucking phrenology. It goes back to why it is that it's okay to subjugate and enslave black people. It goes all the way fucking back to if you want to do it, go back to the Bible. You can enslave the fucking Canaanites. Like, you can do all of this shit.
Hey, Jordan,
because genetically, you are allowed to do so.
I don't disagree with you at all, but I realize just at this second, we are almost 2 hours into this.
Oh, shit.
And we got a little ways to go.
Oh, shit.
So we got to pick up the pace.
All right, let's do it.
The Gavin McGinnis anger will absolutely stretch things out to some extent, and this next clip isn't going to help, but anyway, this sucks.
Why are lesbians so uptight?
All right, I'm out.
This is a separate thing, but I can't help but notice gay men are always dancing around in short shorts. Lesbians are always grumpy in ill-fitting denim pants.
Exactly.
It's got to be sex. Male gays get laid more, and getting laid apparently makes you happy.
I want to stop real quick. Just what is it?
This is a bit about Boys Town.
We've seen this at every shit show.
Absolutely.
Forever.
Oh, yeah.
But the only thing that I think is actually interesting about that is Alex Jones saying, exactly. Like, as if is...
You nailed it.
Great analysis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You crushed it.
Because there's no one grumpier than a lesbian.
Well, I'll just say it without getting into the show. In my experience, lesbians are people that have had a bad experience with men in their life.
No!
Most women grow out of it. And that's just my experience. And then they get real happy when they get a man. And in fact, what would you say? I mean, you know a lot about this. I know you've talked about it if you want to get personal. But, I mean, how many men are married to a former lesbian? I mean, let's just get honest about it. Go ahead.
Yeah, you always say, well, we used to call them lugs in college, lesbian until graduation. And it's easy to be bisexual when you're young and gorgeous and female, and all you got to do is make out with another hot chick when you're drunk. But hanging out with an obese 40-year-old lesbian and tending to your garden, that's
sounds
a little
fun.
Less rock and roll. And the numbers dwindle drastically. But why does this tiny population, this tiny group of sexless, depressed, old, chubby dykes control so much of the political narrative? Why are entire elections dedicated to something as irrelevant as gay marriage? We're really, it's like the tyranny of the minority.
And by the way, I'm not against Hillary because she's a lesbian and has her daughter as a beard with Webster Hubble. I don't like her because she's evil and corrupt and a warmonger.
Yikes. That's fun. Because you know what? At the same time,
if you were going to build a bomb,
you're getting,
who would you send it to?
You're getting so mad about this, and I understand why, because this is disgusting rhetoric.
This is fucking horrific.
Yeah, but he thinks he's doing comedy. Like, he's trying to...
I don't give a shit. He's a pile of fucking garbage.
But he's trying to piss people off. Like, that's...
How rich is he?
Gavin McGinnis?
Yeah.
He probably has quite a bit of money.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he had a pretty decent parachute when they kicked him out of Vice.
Yeah.
Then he's made a decent amount of money from his stupid ventures that he's done.
Right.
I assume he's very comfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, he wears nice suits.
Politically, gonna start building a bomb on my porch.
Politically.
That fucking pile of shit.
I mean, it's just the worst analysis of anything. It's just hack comedy presented as thoughts.
No.
Just dumb. That might as well have legitimately been a late 80s, mid 80s Andrew Dice Clay routine.
Absolutely.
Like, it's...
Absolutely.
It's tragic. It's tragic.
Absolutely.
It's tragic being presented straight-faced.
Right.
Because if you did that at a comedy club, people would be like,
no. Mm. No, this is clearly, like, I am saying dyke.
I'm fascinated by what I just said, that comedy clubs might be more progressive than InfoWars.
Yeah.
Considering how terrible most comedy clubs are,
you are not wrong.
That's nuts.
I have seen a lot of people kill with essentially this bit, and somehow it is less offensive coming from them.
Yeah.
Pathetic.
I don't know, man. I just think this is this conversation or this piece is what like Media Matters covered from this section.
Yeah.
And I understand why. I get it. It's inflammatory. You certainly responded to it most harshly of anything.
I'm not happy with
but
it.
But the like
I would scream in the back of a comedy club.
The reason that I'm chill about it is because I get that he's a terrible comedian.
Yeah.
He thinks that he's like he's edgy and he's being like, this is gonna get me booked on Jim Norton's show or something.
Yeah.
And maybe he goes on there and I just don't know it. I have no fucking idea.
No, saying dyke now is like saying the C word 5 years ago is like saying however many words 10 years ago is like saying all of this shit. It's this idea of just because I said the word that people don't feel like it's okay to say,
mm-hmm.
I am automatically legit.
Well, I've been.
I am automatically the most courageous instead of I'm just a shitty writer.
I've been pushing this, this theory that I think that with all of his lawsuits, Alex Jones is about to get into late period Lenny Bruce mode where, you know, like he would go on stage and just read complaints against him and lawsuits.
Yeah.
And I think that, Gavin McGinnis is doing, next generation hacky disciples of Lenny Bruce mode where they think that he thinks he's being edgy just by saying the word, saying the N word on stage or something like that.
I think he's doing a really, really drunk, unreliable, drugged out Bill Hicks.
It's possible, but
the Bill Hicks that everybody fucking hated.
It's possible,
but he's not good.
But Jordan,
yes.
I was trying to make a transition.
You were doing great.
I did.
You were doing great. I am essentially ruining this show.
No, you're not.
Have you considered doing the show by yourself?
I did a terrible job of that transition. Because I realized that within introducing the Lenny Bruce idea, we go off on a side road.
Of course.
But Alex Jones at this point.
Unfortunately, two students of comedy history are not going to be able to. Yeah. No, I got it.
At this point, Alex Jones gets back to his lawsuits. And I told you at the beginning of the show he was going to escalate things.
He did.
Here's where he escalated even further.
Oh, no.
To wildly inappropriate levels.
Past the Pope?
Yes.
My lawyers, some of them are some of the best lawyers in the country on defamation, they said this new thing filed by Georgetown Law probably will be thrown out because there should be congressional hearings because it's taxpayer-funded at that law school. It's a private school, but the law school's taxpayer-mainly funded.
Nope.
And
that's
they
not
said
how that
it's,
works.
It's defamation in the suit. On purpose and as a stunt, and it calls for the end of the First Amendment and prior constraint, and it inverts Supreme Court rulings. So my lawyer said this: if this passed, it would repeal. If they prevail, it will repeal the First Amendment.
Holy shit!
Wait! Hold on.
A civil trial.
Hold on one second. So.
Yeah.
If this case even goes to trial.
No. It has to succeed.
It has to succeed.
Yeah.
All right. If this case succeeds.
Yeah.
We no longer have the First Amendment.
First Amendment gone.
So as far as our legal system is concerned, the entirety of our 200 bullshit year history will be tossed away.
Well, I mean, the First Amendment has to do with, like, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, those sorts
gone.
Of things also, which have nothing
gone.
To do with Alex
Journalism,
Jones's case.
Gone.
Do you know how to repeal an amendment?
It takes, two-thirds of the states?
No.
Or,
Two-thirds of Congress, and then it goes to the states, and it takes three-quarters of the states.
It takes
38 states, with the 50 states that we have now.
Right.
All of their state legislatures have to sign off.
I did not realize that it was three quarters of the states. I thought it was two thirds of the states.
No, because you know why?
Why?
The only way to repeal an amendment is to create a new amendment.
That sounds true.
Because once you make an amendment, it's not an amendment. It's a part of the Constitution.
That does explain why the Prohibition Amendment needed to be replaced with another amendment about Prohibition going, our bad, guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Alex Jones is getting on his dumbass show and saying that his lawyers tell him that if he loses a civil trial, it will undo the First Amendment.
Now, I love that argument.
I do too.
That is fantastic.
I mean, it's crazy.
It's bananas.
Because, like, legitimately, it goes back to what I was...
Also, hire better lawyers!
It goes back to what I was saying at the beginning of the show, too, that, like, if you believe that, go to fucking court.
Yeah,
because
of course
you will win this trial.
You're never going to lose if the repeal of the First Amendment is at stake.
Right. And if you lose it, all you have to do is appeal it, and then you'll fucking win.
Yeah.
If you end up losing this trial because the Jesuits and the Pope is against you, all this horse shit, then you can appeal it based on the fact that your First Amendment rights were violated.
Historically,
it's very easy.
Historically, the Supreme Court goes hard on the First Amendment.
It's very easy when you make millions and millions of dollars, and biblically, whenever you're getting sued, more money comes in.
It's shocking.
Yeah, if you have all those resources, it seems like... Just fucking prove it in court or shut the fuck up.
As crazy as Hanukkah is, according to other previous InfoWars guests,
right?
Such is the same when it comes to Alex Jones and lawsuits.
Oh, that's another thing I wanted to bring up. We did that episode about Steve, whatever the fuck his name was, that crazy preacher who's been on InfoWars. And
type of preacher I am intimately familiar with.
I wanted to bring a harsh parallel between their discussion of lesbians and how it's a phase. Usually if they meet a man, they get much happier. That offensive pile of bullshit. And that guy, his beliefs, he believes the similar things. Anyway, yeah. I told you.
What did he say it was?
What's up?
Lugs?
The lugs, lesbian until graduation.
No one has ever said that.
Nah, I've heard a couple of people say that.
That can't be real.
I've heard a couple of people I wanted to get away from at parties say that sort of thing.
Man.
Yeah.
I wish I made more bombs.
I used to crash frat parties when I was younger. I lived at a area of campus at Mizzou called East Campus. I was surrounded by like frat houses and stuff, and I was pretty charming. So I would go with I'd just bring a case of beer and then just wander into a party and crash it, and I'd steal a bunch of their beers and stuff, and
naturally
it was a mess. It was a weird period of my life. Anyway, I told you earlier,
every detail I learned about your history is always nuts.
It's gonna be a awful book one day. But for now, Jordan, I told you that I was debating whether or not Gavin McGinnis or Steve Pachenik was the worst guest of the day.
Right.
Most of Steve Pachenik's appearance is just...
So far, I'm on politically bomb one.
Right. And this is a mess. Steve Pachenik mostly is on because he wants to make sure that Alex is okay with the idea of Mike Pompeo being the Secretary of State.
Right. Because, which he shouldn't be.
Well,
Alex, legitimately, based on Alex's technical ideology, should be so against Pompeo being Secretary of State.
For many reasons.
He should be he should be one of the most full-throated critics.
Right. He should be like, I don't know if I like the idea of the CIA being involved in
absolutely
the Secretary of
this
State.
Is the deep state.
He should be. But so Steve Pachenik is there to sort of smooth it out, because Steve Pachenik and Mike Pompeo are allies in some ways, or at least I don't know if it's a two-way street, but Steve Pachenik supports Mike Pompeo.
Okay.
But all that's not really important. It's kind of boring because Steve Pachenik says this, and this is way more important, and it sucks.
Soros is what we call a Judenrat. He's a Jew rat. We've had a lot of those people. The Hungarians overall, the Jewish Hungarians, were never really rounded up as much as the Poles, myself, my family.
Yeesh. Oh boy.
He said Jew rat.
He did. He did.
That's a thing he said.
And he said it
out loud.
And he says it again. He says
in
it
in public.
He said it twice.
Where people can hear him.
To be fair, Judenrat is like a historical term. It's something it's not.
I know the term. I know where it comes from.
It's not good.
Oh, it's not good?
But it's not good to bring in with certainly to modern rhetoric.
No, it's not good.
I don't know what to think about that.
I do. I do very clearly.
Okay.
Bomb number one, politically.
you're going Pechenik over McGinnis now?
I mean, Jew rat is, I don't even like saying it. Like previously, I didn't like how I said, how I could say dyke and not the C word.
Yeah.
That I don't appreciate. Like, I would prefer that it was less acceptable for me to say, that word.
Yeah.
But Jew rat. That's a fucking baseball bat to the face.
Hey, you know what's fun? Media Matters didn't have any posts about Steve Pachetta.
But he said that!
I know.
That's a really big thing.
Neighbors. I know. It's crazy. I don't know what to think. I like, that's the reason that I'm saying I don't know what to think about it. It's like, it's nuts. But at the same time, I do give Steve Pachetta, in this area, a little bit of leeway. Because his parents fled the Holocaust.
That's
and
true.
He has that in his background. He's not like Alex, who's, entirely beholden to just weird anti-Semitic philosophies.
Has Steve ever considered how his parents would feel?
I don't know.
About him.
I certainly don't want to ask
living
him.
in a anti-Semitic worldview.
I don't know. Cause I don't want to get too deep into this, but the more and more I think about Steve Pachetta, the more I think he's using Alex. I mean, we've talked about
it. Oh, he's absolutely using
Alex. So I think his parents, if they understood that power dynamic that I'm just getting him to say the things I want him to say.
Yeah.
Maybe they'd be okay with,
I don't like that either. That's a train of thought I don't want to go down.
But also later, as he goes on, he talks about how, like, he knew, Soros at the Council on Foreign Relations and stuff like that and doesn't like him personally. So,
I'm good without any of this.
None of it excuses the Jew rat stuff.
Yeah, no,
at all,
that's,
but
that's not okay. It's not okay that he said Jew rat. Because even if he didn't say that particular phrase.
You mean it's what he meant?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's tough.
Exactly.
It's tough.
He's a pile of fucking garbage.
So Steve
and I hope he wakes up with a, actually, I hope he doesn't wake up with a note attached to him that says, call Larry Nichols.
So, at this point, we end, Wednesday, the 14th.
God damn.
And Alex rides it out with Steve being real boring for the rest of, the interview. And then we go to the 15th.
Okay.
And, on the 15th, Alex has to give himself a little bit of a pep talk because shit is not going great. These lawsuits are still there. And he turns into, what's that guy's name? What was that Al Franken character? Stuart Smalley?
Yes.
Yeah, he basically turns into Stuart Smalley.
Okay.
I basically have almost no stress and no fear and am completely committed other than hoping I can be a stronger man to execute this operation better. That's where I stand. I am not a victim. I'm a winner. I am not downtrodden. I'm an overcomer. And I bring victory.
You just imagine him like saying that into a mirror.
I bring victory.
I bring victory.
I bring victory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I bring victory.
That makes me think of that episode of Fantasy Factory, Rob Dyrdek's Fantasy Factory, where he,
that is an esoteric reference.
Well, he went and, they went to a hypnosis ceremony and he was like, his name, was Battle Hardened.
Yeah, no, again.
What is your name?
I get the reference. Yeah. The issue is that no one should.
Nah, but I mean, I'm of a certain age. Anyway, at this point, Alex is like, he's got to get some news in.
Yes.
Because he hasn't been for the last few days.
No, he's talking lawsuit pretty much nonstop.
Oh, yeah. Just all victim shit. And so he gets into some censorship news and he chooses three instances to talk about.
Okay.
Three specific examples, and they could not be worse examples.
Right.
All three of them.
Right. Pope.
Leading historian.
Jesuit Pope.
Silicon Valley will decide future election winners unless conservatives do something.
Starring Kumail.
Put that headline back up for TV viewers. You just had. About the far-right group banned off Facebook. Oh, yeah? Steven Crowder has been banned off of Twitter. More censorship. Facebook bans right-leaning group Britain First. They're arresting members of it. They've arrested Marie Le Pen in France. They're saying Islam's as big a threat radical Islam. She said ISIS and Al-Qaeda is as big a threat to France as Hitler was in World War II. Well, that's totally true.
Possible.
Well, it's not possible. But also, France doesn't have the same speech laws that we have. No. They have very specific laws against politically, yeah, racially, and religiously antagonistic
just
speech.
Just like Germany has like a, hey, stop apologizing for the Holocaust. Or not, stop apologizing
stop
for
the Holocaust.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Those sorts of things.
Also, the phrase right-leaning should be burned.
So you're talking
because
about Britain
the,
first?
The answer to that phrase is no. They are right all the fucking hard way in.
Do you want to know about Britain first?
Let's fucking, I know about Britain first, but apparently
you're
going to fucking ram it down my throat.
You don't know
you son
anything
of a bitch.
About them. Britain First is a hyper-right-wing party in the UK who took their name as a reference to Oswald Mosley and the British Union of Fascists.
Not Oswald Mosley. He's a...
The British Union of Fascists.
I know!
Starting in 2014, the group started doing Christian patrols, allegedly guarding streets from Muslims. On one occasion, they posted a video of themselves holding a banner that said, "We are the British Resistance," and pouring beer out in front of a mosque.
White.
Hoping to rile up angry Muslims to attack them. This didn't work and was roundly condemned by Muslim and Christian leaders alike.
White.
After that, they started invading mosques in cities including Glasgow, East London, and Luton. Coincidentally, the city that Tommy Robinson operates out of and always talks about. They would go into mosques and give out Bibles and preach Christianity, telling people to, quote, reject the false prophet Muhammad. In 2016, the UK High Court banned them from entering mosques in the UK.
Good.
When their leader, David Golding, decided to run against London Mayor Sadiq Khan in 2015, his deputy, Jada Franson, said, quote, "Face the wrath of the Britain First movement. We will not rest until every traitor is punished for their crime against our country. And by punished, I mean good old-fashioned British justice at the end of a rope." On June 16th,
think that threatening lynching
Sadiq Khan
is okay.
They claim that Sadiq Khan is some kind of like Sharia law.
Do you mean wildly popular London Mayor Sadiq Khan?
And they claim that he's like
insanely popular Mayor Sadiq Khan?
They claim that he's some sort of Islamicist Sharia law guy. He's in favor
of gay marriage. Non-white.
He's in favor of gay marriage.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
You know the Sharia law, how it's so in favor of gay marriage. Yeah.
So on June 16th, 2016, Labour MT Joe Cox was murdered by Thomas Mayer, who shot her with a sawed-off rifle and stabbed her twice, yelling Britain first.
Yes, I recall.
Mayer chose her as his target because he believed that liberals, leftists, and mainstream media were the cause of the world's problems, and because Cox was in favor of immigration and the EU, that
Great.
Made her a traitor to white people.
Great. Race traitor.
He has ties to Britain First, the political party, as well as Tommy Robinson's European Defense League. Although I will say, in honor of just being completely fair, 2016 is after Tommy Robinson left the EDL. So
I don't care.
He started it.
I don't care.
He's to blame, but he is already gone.
Say.
In court, when asked his name, Thomas Mayer said, "My name is Death to Traitors, Freedom for Britain."
That's a long name.
Yeah.
That's a long name. You should shorten it.
On June 23rd, 2017, the first anniversary of the Brexit vote, a drunk Britain First supporter attempted to attack a curry restaurant called Spicy Night in Harrow in West London by driving a van at it and shouting white power. The restaurant's owner was injured in the attack by Polish-born Britain Firster Marek Zaraki, who pled guilty to dangerous driving and also, weirdly, beating his wife.
Domestic violence is
it's always in there.
Thread.
Yeah.
Always.
Also, weirdly, even UKIP, the UK.
Even UKIP is like, no, you guys are too fucking crazy.
They've gone on the record saying that they want nothing to do with them.
But you are them!
They've said, on the fringes of our politics are nutters, and we don't want them anywhere near us.
Have you considered that you are those guys?
Yeah, and they also have a lot more, connections than either wants to pretend. There's a lot
of course.
they just sort of get into, it's the same thing with Alex Jones and his interview with David Duke. It's like, we can argue over semantics, but we kind of
you agree. Absolutely agree with each other.
So,
cause your underlying philosophy with so many of these people is whiteness.
So the,
it's always whiteness.
It's always a, I feel threatened by others.
Yeah.
So the three things that Alex brought up were, Marine Le Pen. And again, we talked about that already.
Nazi.
Britain first. Fascists. Nazi. Now we have this article that Alex is referring to about, how we need to, social media will decide elections from now on unless conservatives do something. Alex brings this up about five times. And he never mentions who the guy is. He never says his name. Probably so anyone listening doesn't Google the person.
Oh,
I looked into
it
and found it.
No,
and it's a guy named it's Neil, but it's N-I-A-L-L Ferguson. He's a British guy, and his argument is essentially that from now on, social media will not allow people to use it like Trump did. And if you want to make that argument, I fucking agree, because Trump used it illegally. They'll be much more careful about the influence of Cambridge Analytica, micro-targeting, those sorts of things. I hope so. I don't know. But he's saying that conservatives are going to bear the brunt of the changes that happen.
Right.
And that's probably true. But
you would hope.
But there's more important things to note about Neil Ferguson.
I mean, the...
There's a reason.
The problem with Cambridge Analytica is that they are fucking brilliant. They are one of the few examples of the right being brilliant.
Nailing the future.
And it is unfortunate and...
I don't want to talk about that now. I want to talk about Neil Ferguson.
No, you're right. You're right. Politically, making a bomb.
So, do you know anything about Neil Ferguson?
I don't.
Alex is...
I have seen his name spelled, and I have been furious just at that.
Alex is citing him as a leading historian.
That's how he
keeps citing him.
No. I'm out.
In 2015, Neil Ferguson wrote an authorized biography of Henry Kissinger called The Idealist. It's a flawed piece of historical revision, and most contemporaries and historians write it off as historical trash. And simply a 1,000-page puff piece dedicated to rewriting Kissinger's legacy.
You know, that the thing about Kissinger is, like, every claim that they make about Soros, I could reasonably consider about Kissinger.
Well, you need to do more research, but you could probably get some of the broad strokes. But be that as it may...
Kissinger was really, really Nazi-ish.
But be that as it may,
whatever
the case in reality is,
yeah.
Alex Jones fucking hates Kissinger. And this guy wrote an authorized biography that tried to rewrite history about Kissinger's career.
Right, that sucked Kissinger's dick.
Exactly.
Yes.
Then he was very in favor of the Iraq War.
That's not good.
In 2003, he wrote an op-ed in the New York Times calling for American empire, including the following passage.
No.
Quote.
I don't want to hear it.
So long as the American empire dare not speak its own name. So long as it continues its tradition of organized hypocrisy.
Bad.
Today's ambitious young men and women will take one look at the prospects for post-war Iraq.
You're talking about white.
And say with one voice, don't even go there.
No.
Americans need to go there.
This is bad.
If the best and brightest insist on staying home, today's unspoken imperial project may end unspeakably tomorrow.
Kissinger was better than you, and he's a genocider.
But his entire op-ed is about, like, then this is from 2003 that he wrote this.
Yeah.
It's all about, like, hey, let's keep this up.
Yep.
Let's not leave. Let's see it through. You understand how the British colonialized people? Let's fucking do it. So then, in December 2016, Neil Ferguson, who also is a writer for Foreign Policy, Alex Jones's globalist publication.
That's frustrating.
He's written for them since 2009.
That's frustrating!
He wrote in Foreign Policy in 2016 in an article titled The Russia Problem.
Nope.
Quote, as I write, the burning question of American politics is how far the Russian government was successful in its efforts to influence the outcome of November's presidential election. That Russia tried to do this is no longer in serious dispute. Russian hackers successfully accessed the emails of the Democratic National Committee. WikiLeaks acted as the conduit. The resulting email dumps and leaks probably reinforced voters' negative views of Hillary Clinton. A little bit later in the article, he says, quote, in the end, it's not for the United States to solve the Russian question. That is Russia's challenge. But by reestablishing the Kissingerian rule that the United States should be closer to each the Russia and China than they are to each other, the Trump administration can take an important step towards cleaning up the geopolitical mess bequeathed it by Barack Obama. In 2016, after the election, he's espousing a Kissingerian line about geopolitics. Hey, bro, this guy's a globalist.
Boy. You know what? Here's how despicable that guy is. Kind of believe in globalists, right?
Alex sucks. His three news stories for the day is Marine Le Pen, who's legally a fascist. And also,
legally fascist.
And also, he has no leg to stand on in terms of like the French.
None.
Government doesn't have the same free speech laws that we do.
Second, porch bomb.
He's defending a British fascist organization.
Right. Porch bomb.
Anti-Islam organization. And then the third guy is a huge proponent of Kissinger and a fan of the Iraqi war up till current day.
Porch bomb.
Who should be exactly the type of person that Alex would be like, I hate everything he says.
Right.
It's a bunch of nonsense. Anyway.
They don't mean anything. They don't have any ideology.
No, but it's fun.
They don't mean anything.
It's so fun for me when Alex is citing all these people you see their history and he's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? You have no principles.
They don't believe in anything.
Go to
it's
court.
It's so frustrating.
Go to court. Anyway, in this next clip, Alex Jones gets a little bit esoteric, and we can enjoy that.
Okay, good.
I'm not going to get into how you freeze neurons.
I'm not going to get into how you freeze neurons. That's how you started. You didn't pause it until after that point. How do you freeze neurons, Dan?
I should be clear. I forgot to set this up right. Alex is talking about, there's a startup, that's coming out that's like, we can put your brain into the cloud, but it's 100% fatal.
All right.
And everyone's clowning on it, being like, this is stupid idea.
Right.
And Alex is like, this is what I've been talking about for 20 years.
Alex read Transmetropolitan and he was like, this is real.
Yeah, exactly. So he's getting into how like, this isn't possible. This is a trap. This is a trap. They just want to kill you.
Of course.
Then they break and you unfreeze them, they shatter even more. How they're electrochemical and die once the electrochemical data starts going through them, and how you cannot resuscitate it, and how they have proven that there is a interdimensional spiritual force at the sixth dimension that your brain can actually peer into that opens a jump gate in your mind. That's how people have been able to predict the future, how they've been able to, you know, like Aborigines in Australia are very famous for this, like especially the women. They'll know when their sons died in a mine. They'll just get up and say, I've got to be flown 2,000 miles.
What about the gay
women?
My son
just died in the mine. And it's always accurate.
Always.
How is it always accurate?
That's
because they're tuned into
that's how birds know to fly south for the winter, magnetic lines. We've got magnetic cells in our brains. But they all resonate with space-time, space winds,
space winds.
Sun's
space
energy, winds. The planet's gravitational pull, its electromagnetic frequency. And then that's only third dimension. From there, just
not.
That said,
if you're talking about time, that's at the very least fourth dimension.
Oh boy.
You understand that time is the fourth dimension.
I think what you don't understand.
What don't I understand?
Is that your brain is a jump gate that allows Aborigine women to see the future.
Who proved interdimensional thought process?
None of that. None of that's real. That's all just lore, I guess. That's what I would say.
I don't know what
theosophy,
that is.
It's just all kinds of, he's seen YouTube videos basically, I'm sure. But like, the thing that I think is really fascinating, I mean, cause all that's a load of
insane.
It's pseudoscience.
Insane.
It's the line between pseudoscience and the ravings of a madman.
I would describe it as bananas.
But the thing that I think is fascinating about it is how unable he is. Like, he can't track a thought. So he's like, your brain goes through a jump gate. And that's what the right. Aborigines are famous for, especially the women that be.
Everybody knows
in
Aborigines are famous for
I gotta
jump
fly
gates.
2,000 miles because my son is trapped in a mine.
It's really far away.
Aborigine women would constantly have to fly 2,000 miles because they got a premonition that their kid was stuck
they're
in
like
a mine.
They're like Soros. They're always busy.
I don't think.
They can't delegate.
Look. I don't think most of...
They can't use cell phones!
Most...
You could have just called!
Most Aborigine population that exists still to this day doesn't need to travel 2,000 miles.
Always. Always. They're very busy.
It's a hot load of nonsense. Anyway, earlier, Jordan, in this episode, I talked about how Alex Jones had inside information about the Austin bombings.
He has so much inside information.
And so that was on the 13th. Now we've come to the 15th. And some news has come out that Alex thinks validates
that's not
the
good.
Earlier report.
That's not good.
Let's take a listen.
That's not good.
That said, we were told by sources at the bombing site involved with it directly that it was a pressure bomb, all three bombs in Austin, going back Monday through last week, that killed one woman and injured three others, unfortunately.
Way to add
were
that at
very,
the
very
end.
Simple pressure bombs that when you move them, they go off. Oh, look, it's breaking. Fox News, Austin package bombs, probably pretty simple. Components could lead cops to the suspect, experts say. So you get tomorrow's news today. And they go into that. So, I don't know why they don't just tell people the type of bomb it is. I know the people involved on the ground think the public should be knowing this.
It's a porch bomb.
Because the bombs are constructed on the site. You can't move them.
Wait, but you said they were constructed on the porch.
There you go.
They're constructed on the porch, and then you can't move them, because once you move them, they explode.
Right.
And that he says that Fox in Austin is confirming that. I'm going to read to you from an article in Fox Austin.
How's that going?
By Wednesday afternoon, police had taken down tape and opened up Old Fort Hill Drive. That's where 17-year-old Draylen Mason lost his life. After bringing in a package and opening it inside his kitchen next to his mom.
Can't move him.
Quote, I heard this loud boom. It woke me
Porch
and shook
bomb.
The walls of the house, said Jesse Washington, next door neighbor.
Neighbors.
Do you understand that, like, what he's saying is absolutely, literally contradicted by the information that has come out?
Every
he's
single thing.
He's acting like you can't move them.
And he thought this confirmed it.
The case is clear that it was moved.
It was the most movable.
Such nonsense. I don't understand. I mean, I do understand. He's just grasping at straws. But anyway, we have one more clip left to play, and then I think we both have to pee. This is real fun.
Okay.
It starts fun.
Okay.
And then we get a sense.
I wish you had just stopped it. It starts fun.
It starts fun. And then we get a sense. Like, you know, that whole like, right wing complaint whenever there's a school shooting that like you immediately turn it political. You know that idea?
Yes, I'm aware.
Well, I'm going to spoil this a little bit.
I don't want you to.
I'm going to spoil this a little bit.
Okay.
So earlier today in Florida, there was a bridge that collapsed.
Yes, I recall.
And some people passed away.
Read about it.
Watch how fast Alex turns that political.
No, that's not even a thing.
Wait for it.
Okay.
This might be a mic down situation.
All right. Mic down.
Burning inside from the front lines of the information war.
Of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
What we are looking at is good and evil, right?
950-ton pedestrian bridge collapsed about 20 minutes ago at Florida International University. Reports of multiple deaths and injuries. Our prayers go out to everybody, and that's too bad.
Fuck you!
And I certainly, just a prelude of a big earthquake out in California, or Mount St. Helens blows up in Oregon, or in Washington, but. Should we ban bridges? Because you want to ban guns. Jihadis run over people with cars. Do you ban the cars? England keeps trying to ban butcher knives for making it a license because they have a lot of knife crime. But see, a bunch of people die from bridge collapse. It's just out of the news in hours. But it's some crazed person on a bunch of Prozac-type drugs. Well, it goes on forever, and all gun owners are then to blame. So all of us that ever drove over a bridge, all of us that ever drove in a car, all of us that ever paid taxes for highways, we killed the people in Florida, according to that broken logic. And, of course, we didn't kill them.
Of course it didn't. He turned that into a anti-gun regulation message in, like, 12 seconds. And also, that logic doesn't track either because, you know, the reason, you know, what would help with these bridges is tighter
regulations.
Yeah. I think it would probably be like a, people, everything needs to be up to code. There needs to be inspections of the bridges. There need to be, the people who are actually building it need to be licensed, those sorts of things. So actually, even by his own words, he's kind of advocating accidentally for gun regulation.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Alex. You're a stupid fuck and an insensitive one.
That is fucking unbelievable.
How quick was
that?
Does
he not understand? Does he not even come close to understanding why it is that a fucking bridge would collapse?
Well, and this was a new one, too. It's not even an old one.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Exactly. That's the point.
It's bad. It's
like,
bad
think about, like, think about why a bridge would collapse. Like, okay, let's start from the beginning. All right. You're building a bridge. But you can't really afford to replace that bridge to the level that you need to.
So you need to cut some
corners.
So you start
cutting some costs.
Right.
How do you cut costs, Dan?
Low bids.
Now, perhaps if your government was funded better, you would be able to afford to do the job fucking right. In the same way that if your government, like, it's fucking unreal!
I honestly believe that one of the reasons that we're in the situation that we are right now with infrastructure and crumbling bridges and shit is because when the New Deal happened, there was a ton of money for infrastructure work and roads, and we made a lot of pretty strong bridges, and now it's been 70 years since then, and those have deteriorated. And, you know, I'm not saying that this bridge collapse in Miami is going to be indicative of more bridge collapses that are going to happen. That would be silly of me to say that it's a harbinger of things to come.
Well, Trump is personally shutting down the New York to New Jersey train line that's being built. Mm-hmm. Like, he's doing that just because they spited him, or he perceives that they spited him.
They fucked with Christie.
And it is, like, it is what? Like, 15% of our economy that is held hostage by him not doing this bridge? Like, there's so much of this that is exactly what the New Deal was in response to.
Yeah.
That we're incapable of dealing with something preemptively.
Yeah.
It has to become a disaster, and then America's like, oh, I got it. Like, for what, 40 years before the Great Depression, it was a constant, never-ending, let's cut taxes, let's make income inequality as insane as possible, and then once it is utterly and completely destroyed, America's like, oh yeah, socialism is great.
Yeah.
And then when everything's fine, everybody's like, oh yeah, free market is great. And then that fucking destroys the economy, and everybody's like, oh yeah, maybe Bernie Sanders was fucking right. This is an untenable bullshit system that we live in, and the fact that, let me get back to this, the fact that that fucking lamb guy is the best that the Democrats can fucking do untenable.
Maybe it is that neoliberalist bullshit concept that will never fucking end. Maybe in that district he's the best he can do.
Maybe if somebody would actually fucking full-throated go to bat for reality, maybe people would be far more...
Like this.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying that the concept that the Democratic Party has of we need to be afraid of our ideas is the reason that we've been fucked over for 40 years.
I agree.
And maybe if the idea was, fuck yeah, let's fucking live up to what it is we believe instead of this constant mitigation of our concepts and our ideas, maybe we would fucking win.
Maybe
the Overton window would be closer towards the fucking center instead of closer towards the as far right as you can possibly go. Like Marie Le Pen, she would win an election here.
Yeah, probably. My the problem that you have is in your rhetoric is that there is no center. Exactly. That is nonsense.
Exactly.
It's not a two-dimensional spectrum.
It's nonsense. There is the right and there is reality. And that's it. And if you are anywhere near the right, you are as far away from reality as you can be.
Yeah. And I think at the end of this, at the end of all of this tragedy that we're about to befall and all,
it's going to be a disaster.
I think what's going to end up having to
happen 5 years from now, there will be no America.
Well, probably not. But if there is, there will be another, FDR-ish move.
We would hope.
In order to save everything from the disaster we find ourselves
in. What we should do is kill everybody over 55.
And if we're able to pull that off.
Politically.
If we're able to pull that off, the next thing I would hope, that we do, is do it better this time. Because at the end of the New Deal, I think we blew it. In terms of transition.
Even during the New Deal, it was watered down immensely because of this very same concept of income inequality.
So bad. We got to
end. All right. Fine. No more history lessons. More history lessons. Fine.
The bottom line is Alex Jones is being sued by a bunch of people who are real. He's creating fake versions of them. I don't want to fucking dwell on this anymore. I got to piss really bad.
All right.
This has been fun.
Dan, let me ask you a question. If you were looking for us, where would you find us?
I've made a critical mistake in that I had too much content here. And I apologize. I also apologize you had to listen to Gavin McGinnis. But if you like our show, you can go to KnowledgeFight.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at @knowledge_fight. If you would like 3 hours of our podcast, you can go to iTunes.
We're on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. If you go to knowledgefight.com, you can click, support the show. You can do a whole thing.
I have a new calendar up there too, so you can, check out, Alex Jones in history.
Yeah, we have.
It's very exciting.
We have a lot of new listeners.
Thank you all.
It's kind of incredible, and we hope you share it because as ridiculous as this podcast is, it is really important. At the very least, to the two of us.
Sure. And maybe you. Anyway, thank you all so much for listening. I think we're all in agreement. Gavin McGinnis
can go fuck himself.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.